welcome to another exciting broadcast day.
Mm-hmm. Phone number 866-901-ADAM, 866-901-ADAM. Adam, I'm just looking at pictures of Mike crying at his wedding. I had not seen that. Few things have changed.
Lots changed since last you were here, Carola.
I can't believe we have the same news girl.
Yeah.
This will be the third day in a row now for you?
It might be my fourth.
Wow.
Maybe I shouldn't get too comfortable.
Look at this one. The biggest change, though, is Pops Carola himself with the twins.
Thank you.
How does it feel?
Thank you.
And he still even has the little baby bracelets.
Well,
on his left wrist.
I left the baby bracelets on my wrist because I don't want to thank Jimmy.
Because you've gotten soft, Carola.
I was going to say that. All right, let's go to break. I want to thank Jimmy Kimmel for doing a great job filling in for the last few days. It's rough when you're on a nighttime schedule and you got to make that shift to the morning schedule. And Jimmy did a stellar job. I listened to as much of both shows as I could. And, you know, whenever Star would go to break, I would pop on over. And if you guys weren't playing commercials, the few times I heard you guys when I did come back, you know, before I got back and wouldn't miss anything that was going on with Star. Hey, Kimmel sounded great. Now, I listened to at least three quarters of each show, and it all sounded good, maybe too good. I'll tell you why I have these bracelets still on. It's an obnoxious thing. People do it with ski lift badges sometimes. They used to do it. They'd leave it on their parka for a few weeks after they left Deer Valley so they could rub it in your face. Hey, guess where I was? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, what'd you do this winter? I went to my mom's basement and masturbated. Oh, well, I went to Deer Valley and powder. Woo-hoo. Powder, man. Overhead, powder. Yeah, see the ski? See the lift?
The sorriest example
still on.
Of that is our Hard Rock t-shirts.
Yes.
Hard Rock Toledo. Wow, you were there.
Or a nightclub stamp that you accidentally don't wash off your hand.
Yeah. People sometimes I've noticed will leave a hospital bracelet on for a couple days just to get a little sympathy or just for people to ask, oh, what happened here? I have to leave these things on because I have to show them to the parking guy. Because if you have the kid bracelet, you get to come and go as you please, which is a nice perk, although I'm sure they tacked on extra $2,800 for the 4 days my wife's there. But you got to leave them on so you can come and you can go. Otherwise, I would have.
I have to say it's pretty cute that they give you one blue one and one pink one since you have a male and female baby.
Yeah, and I realized I get into it with almost everybody. Everybody I meet and every business I go to because I have a better idea about how to run their business. And they get a little, people get a little, I think they want to defend their business a little bit. So they give, for the first 2 days, I can't tell the difference between the two kids because they have one, they have beanies. They put the kids are swaddled up tight. You know, they wrap them. Like those store-bought logs you take home. You know, they're all wrapped up.
Yeah, it's comforting to be all swaddled up like that, they say.
Yeah, the kids are all swaddled up. You can't get to their junk even if you use your teeth. I mean, not that
I wasn't expecting that kind of
just
circumcision.
A phrase. The point is you can't tell who they are. And the beanie that they pull over them, they wear the little beanie.
It's like the hipster ski cap that all the guys wear
little,
around Hollywood.
Little knit beanies. The little beanies are blue and pink. They're blue with pink stripes, and they're all exactly the same. Of course, I suggest, you know, if you made a blue beanie and you made a pink beanie, then people would know who was who. When you're looking through the window of the nursery, there's a big piece of glass. There's 18 kids that look alike. At least you could know you were looking at the right sex when grandma was looking through the window.
Right.
You know,
you
look at a sea of kids. They're all wearing a blue and pink beanie. There's no characteristics that show, no male or female characteristics, obviously, at that age that you can see. So I make the suggestion.
Right. To how many people?
114, 115. You know, I get the big shoe on everything. I think we know what we're doing. Well, I'm just saying, you get the pink one and you get the blue one. This works pretty good how it is. Well, evidently it doesn't, because I don't know which kid of mine has a penis and which kid has a vagina based on just the couple millimeters of nose I see sticking out of the washcloths you've wrapped them in, and I don't know which one's a boy and which one's a girl. This is fine. This is the way we do it. And I just... every goddamn business seems to run this way. You know, this is just the way we do it.
Yeah, but you've affected change in the airline industry with the music that they play over the headphones. I think this is your next undertaking.
Yes,
blue and pink beanies, although then where does this leave the Jamie Lee Curtises of the world, the people who are born with both male and female genitalia?
Good point. They get a welding mask. So we know.
A question mark.
It is, and you know, you think to yourself, well, it would cost just as much to buy 1,000 units of the blue ones and 1,000 units of the pink. The idea that they're blue and pink just sort of adds to a strange androgyny that goes on there at the hospital. But one of my many, many suggestions for any business I'm with, although they've never listened to.
Which of the twins do you like better?
Boy, I mean, I love them both. They're both my... No, the boy's a little quieter than the girl.
Really? They've already developed little hints of personality.
It's hard to tell, and it could all change, by this time tomorrow. But the boy, at least at the beginning, seems a little bit quieter. He's
that's cool,
not as fussy.
Sonny. You want that. You want Sonny. And but then when you get near him, if you mess with him, he explodes.
Yeah, give you a sunburn.
Do we have Natalia's middle name?
Sunburn.
It's I think it's Ava.
That's
I was going
right,
to say Eva, Ava. But I'm going with Ava now. My wife sort of sprung that on me at the hospital. I didn't really know. I don't have a middle name, so it's not, you know, it's a weird thing. You really do use your own family as a sort of yardstick to measure almost everything. And I never had a middle name, so it was never really a consideration of mine to figure out what the middle name should be. Also, a couple little things, and I don't know if you guys knew this. I didn't know it either. And no one ever explained it to me. They said a few times, they said, do you want to cut the cord when the kids come out? And I said, nah, I don't need to cut the cord. I don't want to cut the cord. And it came up a few times. And they'd asked my wife, this is months ago and weeks ago, is he going to cut the cord? Nah, I don't think he wants to cut the cord. And then a little debate with the wife, too. Why aren't you going to cut the cord? Yeah, Brad Pitt cut the kid's cord. They come. Now, I always thought they meant cut the cord when the cord was attached to the child and attached to mother. That, to me, is cut the cord. It's not. It's cut the cord after they've cut the cord, clamped it off, and then you snip about the extra 3 inches off it.
So it's ceremonial.
Yes, it's like someone saying, do you want to cut the ribbon? No, not when it's stretched across the construction site. After it falls on the ground, you want to pick it up and snip off 3 inches?
It's demeaning. It's like when they do the marathons.
And they have
and
to the put
guys,
it back on.
Yeah, the guys cross the finish line, then 15 minutes later, the women, they pick up the shards of it, and they have her cross the shorter one.
Sometimes they just throw it at her. Now, this is one of these things in life where it's like my first impulse is shame. Like, well, man, Carolla, you are out of it. Obviously, everyone knows this, and you're the only guy on the planet walking around. And then I say to my wife, I thought they meant cut the cord. You know, obviously, when they're pulling the kid from your womb and there's blood everywhere and there's chaos and stuff, no, I don't want to stand up and cut the cord. It's your belly splayed open. Or snipping off the 3 inches they've clamped off at a later date. Not any big deal. It was never explained to me that way. My wife had no idea that's what was involved. And now that I check around, evidently nobody but the doctors in the OR know that that's what they mean. And I guess guys who have done it. But cut the cord doesn't mean cut the cord. It means the kid gets brought off to another room oftentimes, put under a heat lamp. They clamp off 6 inches of umbilical cord and you trim off the extra 3 at the end of the clamp.
Yeah, now your dignity is in question. They don't trust you to actually do it. But
well,
that is like hitting the ball off a tee.
It's
right.
In the middle of a major surgery, though, because I think if you have a vaginal delivery, you maybe actually do cut the cord, cut the baby from the mother. But
I don't think so.
No?
Well, why would it be so different?
I don't know.
I don't think they would, now that I look back on it, we all look back on it, we think about what they're asking you to do in the middle of a procedure, in the middle of a surgery, since when do they take lay people? And, you know, at least I have some education. Imagine taking some 19-year-old from Kentucky who's probably had a couple beers to take the edge off. He's got the 3-stage mullet hanging out past the net, and they hand him some forceps or some scissors and say, hey, and steer him toward the kid.
Cuts the right
open
forearm
wound.
Off. Yeah.
Right. I mean, it doesn't make sense that that would even...
No, you're right. It doesn't. I never thought about
Nobody
it.
Nobody tells you. Nobody tells you. And again, this is one of those things. Why don't the pediatricians or why don't the surgeons or why don't the other people say, when we mean cut the cord, we mean...
Under a heat lamp, away from the mother.
Yes, yes. You'll be handed a thing. It's purely ceremonial. There's nothing really. You'll not be doing anything. You'll be doing as much work as the politician does when he takes the silver shovel and turns over the first piece of earth and then walks, hands it to a Mexican and gets in the back of a limo. That's how it works. But I realize, too, in my constant complaining, there's a lot of stuff where they don't really tell you, businesses and stuff like that, where they don't really explain to you, here's what goes on, here's what you need to do. They could clear things up very easily. I was complaining about this yesterday. It's apropos to nothing, but it sort of reminds me about the cutting of the cord.
Telling Santino and Natalia about this. And what's the deal with this?
I know. I never stopped complaining
crying.
In the room. But I took a flight once from L.A. to Denver on a smaller size jet, probably held about 65, maybe 80 people. I don't know which one it was. It was commercial and everything. It was just one of the smaller size flights. It was a kind of jet you don't fly that much, not one of the big ones that's in the regular circulation. Rocky Mountain Way? Right. I'm flying to Denver, and on the way out to Denver, now I'm sitting right on top of the wing. I'm sitting right in the middle of the airplane, and right on top of Denver, you know, the pilot comes, you know, the stewardess does that, you know, buckle up, sit down, tray tables up, and then the pilot does that real casual. Okay, we're heading on over there. Wind's coming out of the northwest, 12 knots. Should be on the ground about 6 minutes. Just sit back and relax. All of a sudden, pop. Huge pop and an audible gasp from everyone in the plane. Just, you know, you're coming in on approach. You've gone down from 35,000 feet to 12,000 feet. It's a little rough. You're hitting a little rough air. And all of a sudden, poof, everyone in the plane.
Sweet Jesus.
That was the landing gear, which is on this plane a little bit sticky or something. When it unfolds, it makes a pop. But it makes a large pop that reverberates through the entire airplane. So, pop! Everybody, certainly the one sitting right on top of the pop, to give just a audible, it was 65 people going, simultaneously. All right, and then we land, no big deal. No one says anything, just a big deal. That's what it sounds like, big pop. So I now hop in the plane later that night, and I'm coming back to L.A., and I think to myself, all right, here we go. I'm bracing for the pop now. I've learned my lesson. Let's see if anyone says anything about it, like the stewardess who's just done 10 minutes on tray tables and seatbelts. So we're sitting there. It's the same crew. It's the same plane. It's the same everything. We're flying back. Sure enough, here we go. Coming over LAX, 12,000 feet. Pop! Everybody jumps. Everybody goes, nothing. And I'm the only one who doesn't jump because I'm sitting on it. I'm waiting for it. Even then, it's still startling. It was such a loud pop. But I'm looking at the stewardess who hears this same pop 11 times a day going back and forth to Denver and L.A. and the crew and everything, who was holding a PA system moments earlier talking about trays upright and seats upright. And no, you cannot take that seatbelt off until we're at the gate. God forbid you unbuckle that thing while you're rolling in at 3 miles an hour being towed into the gate. No, never makes a goddamn mention of it the whole time. And I think, what is that?
You could clear that up. I once flew from Pittsburgh to L.A., and at the beginning of the flight, as soon as we took off, the pilot made an announcement. We have warnings of severe turbulence. It's going to get very rocky, folks. But I assure you that as bad as the turbulence gets, it does not endanger the plane. This set my nerves at ease. Now, 15 or 20 people, literally, including one of the stewardesses, puked on the plane.
Wow.
All around. But I was cool as a cucumber because I had the assurance from the pilot. That's
right.
All.
Well, anxiety is greatly reduced if anyone tells you. Like, when you go to a really good doctor, they always say, you're going to feel a pinch, it's going to feel cold, and then you're not upset because you know what's coming.
That's right.
I'm just saying, why not? You have the pop, you hear everyone gasp, you have a PA system, you just got done doing 5 minutes of nothing, tray tables and seat backs and all that kind of stuff. How about just saying there's going to be a little audible pop? Give people a heads up.
Why? Now, because people who have limited power in the world love to lord it over you. That's
oh,
why.
Yes, they do. Darren? Darren?
No, this is Todd.
Oh, okay. Todd, what's happening? Sorry. You say I'm wrong about the umbilical cord.
Yeah, you got screwed on that deal. For once in my life, I could actually say Adam Carolla was wrong, which I never thought would happen.
Wow. What happened? You can't cut it?
No, I got to cut it both times when my kids were born.
When it was attached to mommy?
When it was attached to mommy, I got to cut my kid from my wife and say, you're free, kid.
Mm.
Was it a vaginal delivery?
Yes.
Hmm, well, maybe Teresa's right. Thank you, Todd. All right. Well, I stand corrected. Well, then now I'm even more angry because why didn't they tell me specifically you'll not be cutting the cord
think? They should have.
I actually threw a chair through the glass window and used the cord to rappel down the side of the building.
They didn't tell you. How were you supposed to
do that? I did not know I was supposed to do that. All right. We got to take a break. Cassandra. Wait a minute. Cassandra?
Yeah. Yeah.
You want to be my nanny?
Yes, I do. And congratulations.
Thank you.
Cassandra's picture right here. The one who she's promised that she's young and buxom and beautiful. Here she is. She is a lovely Latina.
Yeah, she is pretty.
Do you like it?
Yeah.
You have to show it to Jimmy Kimmel, too, because you guys are neighbors, and he said he might need a baby.
Yeah, and you know what I like, too? You look depressed. I like that. it means you'll cry during sex, which, to me, you know, for a lot of guys, is a turn-on.
It does look like you just finished cutting yourself just to feel something.
Well, no, I didn't. I'm just bored.
Okay.
I have a better one. I'm trying to send him a better one, though, because he's all complaining about my...
Well, you understand we didn't send Webmaster Billy into your apartment, kicking the door, and grab a picture. You chose a picture and put it on the internet, right?
I know. Yes, I did.
Why not choose one that you're proud of?
Smiling,
I'm
maybe?
Happy about that one, because you could see my boobs.
Yeah.
And nobody... that girl that's with you doesn't believe that I have 34 C's.
Mm, Teresa?
Yeah.
No, are you talking about Drunken Tree or me?
Oh, you're talking about Drunken Tree mascot.
I don't know who, but someone...
She's just jealous.
Yeah, she's jealous. Oh, I heard she doesn't... You know how some people have those dogs where it's like, is your dog a female? Is she if she doesn't like, she doesn't get on. That's how Drunken Tree mascot is with everybody.
Nice.
Is your daughter a human? All right, Cassandra, hang on, baby doll.
Okay.
We need to take a break. What's coming up today? Sensitivity training seminar discussion. Thank holy Christ, I missed that dirge.
But you were the hero of it, and I can't wait to talk about that.
Well, we'll talk about that colossal waste of time. Louis C.K., truly one of the funniest guys around, and also a lot of perspectives on bad parenting. So he'll call.
Good.
No, he'll be in studio telling us all about that. Also, we have a FHM model called the Booty Queen. Big Tad's into her, so she's got to be hot or smell of bacon. Pat O'Brien, SOB, or PTOB, FPTOB, as I like to call him. Harry Shearer, a hero of mine who I've never met.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
I've met everybody in this business that has to do with comedy over the last 10 or 12 years. I've never met Harry Shearer.
Monty Burns and the bass player from Spinal Tap?
Yeah, and every great.
Marvelous.
And just saw Spinal Tap. For some reason, they were running it last weekend. Just refreshed myself on the genius known as Spinal Tap. So he's coming in. All that still to go on the Adam Carolla Show.
The Adam Carolla Show. Don't laugh too hard. You might get hurt.
Drunken Tree mascot. Now, actual mascot over at Stanford.
I have songs about him.
Oh, really?
You know, I think I'm more of an American Idol.
Yeah, shouldn't be drinking at 8:30 in the morning.
Brisket. Not skinny like a Triscuit. Fat. And hairy like an armpit. Brisket. He's a piggy brisket. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yoink, oink like a piggy. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Your segment's over.
Stay right here. There's more coming up. The Adam Carolla Show. Adam's back, and no one's happier than sound effects guy Brian Bishop, whose work was not appreciated by guest host Jimmy Kimmel.
Thank you for that insulting, condescending music. No, you're jumping the gun a little bit there. That is true. What was that for, the noise? Listen, save the morning zoo crap for when Carolla gets back. Imagine that. Times 7 hour trip to the Grand Canyon.
Ah, look at Paul Brian is
beaming.
Were you
upset, Brian? Because we give you nothing but love usually.
I wasn't upset until about 10 seconds ago. No, it's not that bad.
He turned red and he was upset.
Just know. Now?
No, yesterday.
Oh, at the time?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a little jarring to hear someone actually verbally reference your drops in a negative way on the air. Especially the sort of the boss of the show, you know, all intents and purposes, sort of comes in as a relief pitcher and beans you from the batter's box.
Brian has a lot of pride and a fair amount of bravado for a guy at his pay scale. There's guys with more bravado. There's guys who get paid less, but nobody with more bravado who gets paid less.
Oh, you're not
Brian.
Telling me anything. I don't know.
I know.
After every bit, I get a letter grade. B minus.
C minus. D plus.
I've seen better words.
Wait a second.
Challenge
I got a
yourself.
Note yesterday that my audio clips were a little too long. Just FYI. Mm. I did get that note.
And just 15 seconds goes funny. You say that I asked him to do something and he gave me such crap during the commercial break.
I thought you were playing a trick on me.
There's no trick. Just
you've been
told.
Known to play tricks.
Just do what you're told.
Well, Brian,
do what you're told. I'm the boss.
Brian does a great job.
I knew it. I'm
record.
Surrounded by assholes.
Well, Brian is smart and he's capable and he's aware of it. But it's a weird thing. You run into it. We're going to run into it more and more. We didn't have this problem in the turn of the century. Stupid people worked in coal mines and smart guys worked at banks. Now we have smart people that are making $9.95 an hour and stupid people that are making millions of dollars. And it's going to be tough because they will clash. There'll be some resentment. Mm-hmm. There'll be an uprising of smart people that aren't making anything. I don't think historically we ever really had to worry about that. I mean, you had your sort of slaves and then your slave labor and then your blue collar worker mule type. These people couldn't read and couldn't write and had zero education. At some point, guys would have third grade education. They'd be sharecroppers and stuff. Brian over here has a degree from USC yet gets paid less than anyone in the room. So there's going to be trouble inherently.
You meantime flunked out of junior college and he is, must answer to you.
Sweet irony.
David, I was put on academic probation and then I chose to pull out of junior college.
Different.
I didn't flunk out of. It's totally different. Boy, you to get put on academic probation at LA Valley College, you must physically throw a Molotov cocktail into the dean's office. That's the only way you can do it. You can't do it just by having bad grades or not attending. You must assault one of the faculty members. All right. So anyway, Brian, we expect to hear more from you as the years and months go on, if in fact you last that long. Cassandra?
Yeah?
Sorry. You're foxy. You're 19. You want to be my nanny.
I'm 23, and I do
want to
be your nanny.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Not a bad-looking woman. We're going to post her picture on the Adam Carolla website, too, adamcarolla.com.
Can you perform CPR?
Yes, I can. Well, I can learn.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what it is?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
What is it?
What is it?
It's when somebody's choking.
Right. How about fellatio?
That's not what CPR is.
No.
Then what is CPR, Teresa?
I think it's cardiopulmonary resuscitation.
Oh, you didn't ask me what it stands for.
That's where you pound the person in the chest and yell, live, damn it.
Again.
But that's different than choking. Heart attacks are different than choking.
We're talking Heimlich.
Oh, okay. Then you're right.
Okay.
Good.
Let's just
hope the kids don't have any trouble.
Yeah.
All right. Hang on there, Cassandra. Or as a matter of fact, hang up on yourself.
Oh.
No, I mean, I'm still into you. I don't want you hanging on for another 3.5 hours. That's all.
Okay.
All right, baby doll.
You're still in the running, though, Cassandra. Don't give up.
Yeah, you don't need, medical training.
No.
To be a nanny.
No, as a matter of fact, I was watching Entertainment Tonight the other night, and they were talking about the nannies.
Right, that's
all
a new thing
now.
All
the dude nannies coming in. And like I said, why not? Because if you have a dude, like I explained, unless he's gay, not only does he look after the kids, but you can do that thing where it's like, hey, Doug, the Sparkless guy dropped off 5 bottles at the curb. Could you schlep him into the kitchen? No problem. If your nanny, maid, whoever, assistant, whoever is either female and or gay, because the gays are diabolical this way. They've talked us in. I had a gay assistant.
Right.
I know, I'm all over the road here. But I had a gay assistant for like 6 months. He effectively talked me into him being a woman, or at least looking at him as a woman. Every once in a while, I would say something like, Matt, I got to jump start the car. The battery's dead on the Nissan. And he'd just look at me and he'd laugh like, oh, please. You, I mean, it was like asking a debutante to go down and change a flat. Like, it was like, he'd be actually like applying kissing potion and laughing while I was saying. And after a few of those run-ins, I would say stuff like, Matt, I need you to run down to the hardware. Listen, I'm going to the hardware store. I'll be back in 10 minutes. I'm expecting some important calls. Just tell them I'm in the bathroom. And I would go do everything that had to do with any kind of lifting, any kind of move. And you don't realize, you think that if you hire somebody for help you around the house or be an assistant or something, you don't realize how big a percentage of that is sort of schlep, sort of go down, go drop, go get, go fix, go grab, go this, go that. You just, if you're gay or if you're a woman, you will not ask the person to do that. Now, I don't know how women, I don't know how the guys have worked that out, because the gay guys live at the gym. Most of these guys can put up 220 pounds over their head 25 reps. I mean, all they do is shave themselves and work out. Half of them are on the juice, but yet they can't head down and get the Sparklets bottle and schlep it up the driveway.
Well, how'd that end with you and Matt?
I got to tell you this. Oh, well, not well for Matt. I'll tell you something. The Mexicans could take a page out of the gays' book with this, because as racist as this may sound, we here, especially in Southern California, you see the Latino guys, you look at them as workers. You look at them as the gardeners. These are the masons. These are the guys you pass. They're on the freeway. They're stacking the cinder blocks up. They're building the barriers. They're waiting at the Home Depot. You look at them with work. If I had a gay assistant and I had a Mexican attorney and the Sparklets guy dropped off a thing, I'd be like, Alejandro, out to the curb. Go get the, go drag the jugs up here. He's in a three-piece suit wearing wingtips and stuff. He'd be dragging the things up the thing, holding the briefcase. That's how my mind is. And I think that's how everyone's mind is. And you don't realize, you don't tell the gays, hey, go change the flat, go this. Or if a gay guy tells you, oh, man, this guy started honking, and next thing you know, I was in the passenger seat, but my friend honked at him, and he got out, and he started threatening my buddy behind the wheel, you wouldn't give him crap. You wouldn't go, why didn't you jump in and protect your buddy? You'd go, oh, my God, that's horrifying. Now, if that happened to Brusca, you'd be yelling, you puss, why didn't you stand up for your friend? Powerful. The more you know.
By the way, I want you to also talk about, I would like to hear the whole story about, like, you know, hour by hour about the build up to the baby's delivery.
Sorry, I got on the gay nanny thing.
Yeah, no, I would like to hear that, but I'd also like to hear, you were supposed to be off all week. How'd you spin this one to your wife, new mother?
Freudian slip.
Yes.
Well, first off, I felt horrible for Mr. Kimmel, who had to get up at 4:30 in the morning and then go do his show all night. And Kimmel's funny because nobody looks tired or stoned better than Kimmel. He can look tired, stoned, and both. You know, there's some guys, they sleep for 3 hours, they wake up, they shave, they splash some water on their face, they do that, and they show up at work and you can't tell if they pulled all-nighters or not. That ain't Kimmel. His first off, his eyes turn into just miniature vaginas. Mm-hmm. It's just miniature adolescent vaginas, you know, just as much lower lid as upper lid. And then he'll literally fall asleep when you're having conversations with him, which I take as a slap in the face. But the point is I felt bad for Kimmel burning the midnight oil on I don't know what, you know, what kind of schedule he's on, but he doesn't finish his show until 9 and change, and then it's meetings and it's God knows what else. So I felt bad for him. Then yesterday, I realized when I called my wife at 7:15 and said, I'm coming into the hospital, and she said, give me a couple hours, I'm going to take a nap. I realized her schedule is she's kind of up and down with the kids all night. Then she sends the kids to the nursery at like 7 in the morning and takes a two-hour nap. So I realized she don't need me before 10 anyway. Yeah. Why not? Why not be with my family?
I see. I was going to say, I was hoping you would spin it like I miss Brian and Billy and Ruska. Yeah. By the way, Billy, you missed the star turn by Billy. He tried to take the mic.
Yeah.
For one break.
I heard him describe himself as explosive on the mic.
That's right.
Some and people are exploded. Implosive.
Yeah. He has issues like young Brian. He really does. Amazing. Yeah. Ted?
Hey, Adam. What's happening?
What's happening?
Hey, well, I'm basically a 42-year-old ex-con, and I'm out of work, and I saw that show, The Insider, the other day. I think I could be your Manny.
Yeah, we were talking. And again, too, how about the nanny instead of the Guatemalan chick who just breaks down into tears when the kids get abducted and runs back? Mr. Corolla! What? What's up, Lily? The kids are... What do you mean they're gone? And I have to explain it, and I have to use Oswaldo to get in between us and everything. How about a guy who can actually put up a fight?
Yeah. Well, Ted, do you...
No problem. I got plenty of experience. It's not even that. It's really... My experience comes with... I basically had to take care of two... Can I say bitches on the air?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
In prison, so I figured if I could take care of those two little boys, I could take care of your kids. No
problem. You had to be the enforcer to take care of the bitches in prison, right?
Well, you know, I'm a 5'6", 140 pounds, so I can be intimidating if I want to.
Wait,
sure.
That's...
When you're the size of my mom, yeah, it's intimidating.
It just depends upon the attitude you present.
You're scrappy.
People.
You bring That's it. Right. You're like a bobcat, yeah.
Well, do you bring a bobcat.
Mm-hmm. Do you bring any lullabies? Do you know any lullabies for the babies?
No. Basically, if they get out of hand, I couldn't do that with a kid. But, I have to figure out something. You know what
he
I mean?
Does that thing I saw in Scared Straight, like lullaby, and give me your goddamn shoes! Yeah, screaming at the kids.
You bring that up, Adam. I was like the second callback on that for another documentary you're going to do, but they said I was just too low-key.
Well, it'll be nice when my nanny, when the kids get into junior high and they describe their nannies having a teardrop tattoo. I say that's because he loved you so much.
That's one of the Latino boys, man. I'm just a white boy.
You don't have that?
No, I don't have any relatives, so nothing really happened to my family.
All right.
But
I
got some friends, though.
All right. I don't know if I can sell the ex-con thing to my wife.
Don't give up yet, though. I think this could work. This is another great candidate for, you know, to go up against Cassandra now. Mm-hmm. We have Aaron, the Drunk Tree mascot, and now Ted.
Now,
Ted's people.
Done his time. I mean, maybe he deserves a chance.
Yeah.
I'm okay, man. I'm not a bad guy.
Well, what are you doing? What are you doing now, Ted?
I'm not doing anything. I just got out about 6 months ago.
Perfect.
And I'm basically living on, the state right now.
Can you get a job with a rap sheet like you have?
What I really did was not that bad. It was just, dealing with the Artanials and some other things going up north. I don't really want to talk about it because people know who I am.
That's what got you into the clink?
Well, yeah, because I got pulled over and I had 13 keys or some stuff on me.
Mm-hmm. Okay, drug possession.
That's what that means, you know what I mean, girl?
Yeah.
Sorry,
yeah.
I'm not from the streets.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm just a little strung out right now. I'm trying to get. Well, I'm not gonna go on the air.
I understand. Listen.
A strung out ex-con. Perfect.
I'll pitch it to my wife in the hospital later on today after the show.
All right.
I'll get a listen, baby. Stranger named Ted called the show. He's, he was moving the booger sugar, 13 keys to be exact. He got popped. He was an enforcer when he was in the joint. He doesn't have a lot of experience with the kids, but he's been on the dole for about 6 months, and I'd like to give the guy a second shot, his first shot at being a nanny. So I'm going to have him swing by the house. What day do we get home? Saturday, Sunday? I'll have him waiting there for you.
Or baby. I mean, I don't want to say it's got to be Ted. Maybe it could be this girl with the 34 Cs who thinks the CPR is when you're choking.
Right. Right.
We're adding up a lot of good candidates here
right.
at the point.
Here's your choices. Do you want a palpable sexual tension between me and Cassandra the nanny, or do you want to be scared to be left alone with Ted when I go off to work in the morning?
Up to you,
but it's got to be one or the other. All right, Ted, 50-50 chance. You're in the running, buddy. We'll take ourselves a break. I hear that we have the first interview with my kids coming up next.
Yeah, we heard them yesterday at 9:45.
They're looking...
Figure we played it back for you.
A lot of similarities from my year at least, Kyle.
I know, the little boy especially.
Mm-hmm. All right, well, we'll hear the first interview with my kids also. Pat O'Brien, P.O.B., S.O.B., as Jimmy Kimmel now calls him, F.B.O.B., as I call him, for not putting my kids or not running it as a story on The Insider. Harry Shearer, a man I consider a genius, is going to be on Does the Voice of Everything on The Simpsons and Spinal Tap and many, many other things. Also, Louis C.K., another genius on the show. Coming up, all that after this.
The more you know, the more you listen. The Adam Carolla Show.
Listen.
people are getting shot at bus stops and at gas stations.
Right.
What do you say to your kids? How do you talk to your kids about this kind of thing?
Well, pretend that you're talking to the twins.
Okay, go
Daddy,
ahead.
I'm very scared. There's a sniper killing people all over.
He only kills kids that don't clean the room.
There's only one. Adam Carolla Show.
Adam, how are you?
Yeah.
So tell us about the kids.
The boy is Sonny, like Santino, 6 pounds, 4 ounces, and the girl, Natalia, is 79 pounds.
Did you cut the cord?
I didn't want to cut the cord, but the guy handed me the snippers and just sort of pushed me at my kid. I almost dropped the snippers in the kid's eyes.
Yeah, I'm left-handed. They don't have the left-handed snippers. And it is true, the kid is obviously lying on his or her back. I can't remember which one it was. If you had my color-coded beanie system in place, well, I would know clearly. But as it is now, I can't remember. The point is the kid's lying on the back. The kid's about waist high, about counter height. The kid's head is facing both of us. We're sort of doing the baton snipper exchange a foot over the kid's head. He's handing it to my right hand. I'm grabbing it with my left and trying to sort of thread my fingers through the thing. And it does slip out at a certain point and fall a couple inches before I grab it again. Anyway, I did cut the cord.
Wonderful. By the way, Mo Damashek on Cloud 9. For you. She really is
fantastic.
Thrilled. Loves the name Sonny. Oh, what a cool name. I want to send him a gift. What should I get them? What do you think is a good gift? I said, listen. Old lady. The man's made out of money. You don't need to send gifts.
I'll tell you, she could give me a gift you can't pay for, though, which is I'm now working on a plan for faking my own death because I realize this, I'm in over my head.
Right.
This is way too much for me. She is inside the medical profession. She could pull some hobo's dental records and swap them with mine. Whatever it is, I'm going to need a corpse soon.
Not just
so they can find it in a burning Ferrari.
She was a nurse. Maybe she could be the new nanny.
Whatever it is, we probably said too much already. The point is she doesn't need to get me a bottle of Cristal. I'll need hers my inside.
All right.
Gal. A couple things before we play the tape of my first interview with my young son and daughter. I kept thinking the whole time I never talked about it on the air, but it was weird knowing, because we had a C-section scheduled for 7:30 in the a.m. on the 7th of blah, blah, blah. I knew the whole time. I thought about how tough it would be for those who just sort of waited around and went back and forth with the false contractions and the Braxton Hicks and all that stuff. But then I thought, you know, you're not supposed to know when you die. You're not supposed to have a hard date on that. If you did, it would freak you out. As human beings, I don't care if it was this weekend or 40 years from this weekend. Somebody giving you a mark your calendar, here's when you're going to hit the dirt, wouldn't be a good thing for human beings. I don't know. It's equally as weird knowing when you're going to be born. Not for the kids that are being born, but for everyone around it. It's a weird countdown. I mean, the night before, you know, I said to Lynette, freaked her out, but good, at about 9 o'clock at night on Tuesday night, I said, well, less than 12 hours from now, you will be giving birth to those children. And she was like, oh, why did you, you know. I wanted her to go to bed so I could watch TiVo, but the point is that's why I did it. But the point is she was kind of freaked out by, I literally said, well, you got about 9 hours and 37, 38 minutes before those kids are coming out of you. And it was weird.
Mm-hmm.
And I just thought, I'm not sure if we're meant to know when we're born or when we die. Certainly not when we die, although I bet we'll have a better bead on that in the next, you know, upcoming decades and years, too. All right. Freak out, everybody. So we have the actual interview, because I didn't know. They called into the show. They talked to Kimmel. All right, here's the young Carolla son and the young Carolla daughter in their first interview ever.
How are you eating there in the hospital?
Well, believe it or not, all we're fed is breast milk. Don't get me wrong. I appreciate the giant novelty-sized jugs, and I guess we should be happy. I hear milk's the only thing Mama can cook.
Yeah, okay, let me get this straight. We make it through 9 months of sucking down amniotic fluid, and now all we get is milk? Really? Really? They can't add a little chocolate Yoo-Hoo in there, a little banana cream pie flavor? Nothing? Nothing?
Well, I hope my kids don't get that complaint, Gene.
Too late.
It's the first thing they heard right out of the womb there.
I got shushed about 122 times. You're freaking the kids out. But I mean, This is, I can't contain myself. I open the closet door. You know, we have a nice little suite there in the room. I open the closet door because they give you a plastic sack to put all your clothing. When you go into a hospital, it's like going in the military. You know, we need all your clothing and we give you a gown. I will do 2 hours on the gown in the 8 o'clock hour and how that needs to be. There are certain things we always talk about, Sheck, where we go, really, we're done designing the hospital. The hospital gown, last time it underwent any alterations was 1941. Somebody signed off on the hospital gown. This is the best we can do. The part where it seems like you're wearing a backward rain slicker that you can't get to.
Right.
You can't. And it is nothing for me. I went to the hospital. I had hand surgery a few years ago. A huge novelty size club cast on my good hand, my left hand, drugged out of my mind, no underpants, and a gown that was like I was wearing a tablecloth with my head pulled through the umbrella hole. And of course, hey, we're going to transfer you from the gurney onto the, of course, the family. Everyone is standing in a semicircle at the foot of the bed. Sack parade. Sack explosion. Nothing but sack. I mean, there's just, I went to the hospital. My grandfather was in there. It was every time. I go, sir, we're going to have to, we're moving him from the, we're changing. Oh, there it comes. Legs akimbo. Everyone's drugged up. Thing pulled up over your head. Just not the final indignity, you know. Also, it ties in the back. When you're drugged up and you're attempting to tie a bow with two pieces of yarn behind you and you have a cast on one hand and you're out of your mind, impossible. How about a bathrobe? How about I keep the underpants?
What is, do you imagine that it's that maybe it's a decision to shame the patient so that they don't try to take control?
I think it's the same reason you make inmates wear orange jumpsuits. Mm. There's no chance of fleeing in this.
I see.
You'll trip over your own sack before you get out of the hospital. You then put this smock on that ties behind you and wraps around you, and you get into bed, and you lie there for 10 minutes. You're being strangled by it. If you try to move around, it's rolling off. You can't. You know that feeling of wearing something? Like, it feels like you're wearing a shirt that's backwards and inside out. It's just, there's nothing. It's nothing but wrong.
Yeah.
It's just nothing but wrong. And you get to watch guys, old people especially, it's great to look at old people naked, push their little IV thing up and down the hall with nothing but ass. It's ass parade. It's just old guy ass and sack parade, and God forbid some old vagina at the hospital, because you can't position yourself so this thing's not over your head, and you have no way to fasten it or close it. And the way it's designed, you can't tell when it's opened or closed. Just nothing but. Yeah, it's great.
I think that's why they do it, though. Is it so, like, in case you throw out a suggestion, like, well, I think I maybe should get a second opinion, the doctor and nurse can laugh at you condescending. Bummy McNuts Exposed thinks.
Well, on the positive side, they are very soft because they've been worn so many times by people with communicable diseases.
They've been softened up by the acid from people's stomachs who have thrown up on it earlier in the week. All right, we have more tapes of the children, I hear?
Oh.
All right, let's listen to
boy.
That.
Oh, boy. Son is all worked up. Smells like he's going to need a diaper change. Guess Dad hasn't taught him how to poop in the shower yet.
How dare you? You should talk. What about the doozy you crapped out earlier? I had a whole power of 94.
Oh. The boy with the nasally drone I can take. The young lady with the nasally drone is going to be tough. And again, complaining about everything. Oh, what I was getting to with the gown is they hand you a bag that you get to stuff all your street clothes into, and then you carry this around in a sack. Now, my wife's in the hospital for 3 or 4 days, so at a certain point when I was tired of reading my car magazine, I stood up and I opened the closet door that's in the suite, has the shelf, has the hanging pole, no hangers. And went off on 20 minutes on why wouldn't you put some goddamn hangers in the goddamn closet that has a goddamn hanging pole. But that's just me. We have a couple more little me's to hear. Let's hear that.
What's with this Sonny Corolla? They're grooming me to become a bail bondsman. My credit rating went down before I even shot out of my mother's vagina.
It's a noble profession, by the way, bail bondsman.
Yeah, your kids are funny already.
Yeah, they have a little sense of humor to them. I like that. All right, this is, again, first interview with my young children with Mr. Kimmel. Let's hear the last one.
Oh, Natalia, really? Thanks. Thanks a lot. $20 if my dad can even spell Natalia. Nice name. Sounds like my dad wants me to open my own hair slot and diamond bar. Thanks.
Wow. So you can do worse in both those professions. My wife did ask me, seriously, to spell both my children's names yesterday in the hospital.
How'd you do?
I got Santino right, uh-huh. And then she said, "Yeah, but Sonny, how do you do Sonny?" She thought for sure I was going to do the SU, the Sonny Delight. I paused for a second and realized I'd read it. I saw it written on the crib, and
crib notes, literally,
very nice. Yes, the crib where it says Sonny Corolla, Corolla,
oh, no,
and I realized
it's
now official. My name has now been transformed into another spelling before my very eyes, and there's not a goddamn thing I can do about it.
By the way, though the pictures have not been
sold.
Sonny
came home.
Sonny, very good.
Thank you.
Though the pictures haven't been sold, we tried to sell them. Yes, Jimmy Kimmel tried to sell pictures of the baby to the press, and we haven't gotten a bit over 500 yet, but Jimmy Kimmel showed me his personal pictures, and the babies are so cute.
Really?
They're so cute. Can you tell them apart?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the girl definitely looks like a girl, and the boy looks like a boy, so it's kind of nice. They have features.
Yeah, for newborns, they're very cute.
Thank you. Adolfo?
Yeah, how's it going, Adam?
Good. You like to work as my Manny?
Yeah, you know, I was listening to this guy, Ted, earlier, the ex-con that's 4 foot.
Mm-hmm.
That's just two things that don't go together. You need a guy that's 5'10", 165 like me.
Mm-hmm.
Without the record, though. I don't have the prison record like this white guy, Ted. I did hear you mention that the Guatemalan nanny earlier, and, you know, the Hispanic moms, usually, they're good nurturers. They kind of overprotect their kids, which is what I had, and I kind of have those qualities as far as nurturing your kids. I'm good
right
with kids.
Once in a while, I'll see the heavyset Guatemalan nanny beating the crap out of the young blonde kids. I really saw that once when I was working construction. One of the kids tried to cross the street, and she was just like, that's the whole thing. Like, here's what you don't want to do. What you don't want to do is have your Guatemalan maid say, you know, Mr. Corolla, I need a raise because my mama, she said, hey, listen, you got to lump it, baby. And by the way, how about you crack me another cold one as long as you're up and about? Because later on, she'll just take it out on the kids. She'll be violating them with a mop handle while you're at work.
Yeah, you walk down Larchmont Village here in L.A., very wealthy neighborhood. You see, little white babies with Latin nannies.
Yes, and there are certain cultures where it's okay to show a little tough love to the kids. You know, it's not all the same. I don't know who does the most of it, but I'll tell you, the people that do the least are usually the people that hire the Guatemalan nannies, who may be higher on the list of the ones that are going to show the back of the hand to the kid if he gets out of line. I'm not passing judgment. I'm just saying it's ironic when you get some super liberal, super left wing, you know, they're both attorneys and they hire the Guatemalan and they would never dream of disciplining their kid with anything more than a timeout. And while they're at work all day, nanny's essentially putting her hand between the two kids and just going back and forth like a card and spokes.
Now, will you advocate spanking of children?
I my feeling is, and my policy is it's never all right to spank a kid unless he gives you the stink eye. And in which case, I'm bringing more than an open hand. I will bring an elbow.
Who arbitrates whether the eye is stinky?
Oh, I think you know it. As a matter of fact.
Right now?
You drop it right now.
Only
sister.
One judge
I will
in
come
this
over
room.
There.
I'm getting nervous.
I will drop an elbow on top of that head of yours right now. So that's how it works. I'll decide, depending on what kind of mood I'm in. If I'm drunk especially, they're getting it. They're getting it. All right. And then I'll get in this argument with my wife. You don't think the kid can shoot me a stink eye when he's sleeping? Oh, so naive.
You're next.
You're next. All right. T, we got some news coming up?
Yep. Al Gore in a beef with Lindsay Lohan. Hard to believe. But it's true. And also Paris Hilton's latest song, Big Controversy. It sounds a lot like another song. We'll play them both and hear what you think. And who has the best breasts in Hollywood?
Well, I'll say my... Gotta go with my wife now. They're filled with milk.
And I'm chubby or I'm a lesbian.
close second, Fresca. We'll take a quick break. We'll get to that after this.
Well, all right. This is the Adam Carolla Show.
Yo, what's up? This is Jamie Kennedy
and Stuta Jidnu.
You're listening to Adam Carolla Show. Give Adam a call now at 1-866-901-ADAM.
Adam.
Yeah, there's more coming up. The Adam Carolla Show.
This is Jerry Ferrara. Why don't you give Adam Carolla a call right now? 1-866-901-ADAM. In case you don't know, it's A-D-A-M. I think you know how to spell it.
New season Entourage starts this Sunday. HBO. Speaking of initials, P.O.B. on the phone. S.O.B. as Jimmy now refers to him.
Enemy number one. That's what
I refer
to. Yeah,
he lied. He lied to all of us.
Pat?
Don't hate the player. Hate the game. All right? All Congratulations, Adam.
Thank you, Pat.
I'm very happy for you.
I know this would be funnier if I was truly angry about you not featuring the Twins on The Insider the other night, but I actually enjoy flying under the radar just a little bit.
No!
No?
I'll tell you what. I'll give you $650 right now. For exclusive rights to those pictures.
All right. Well, so far, you're the highest bid, as sad as it is. It's a weird thing.
And I'll tell you what else I'll do. I can't even talk. I will be your Manny to make up to you for what? 72 hours? Is that what you want?
Yeah, I like the idea of P.O.B. being the Manny because he'll never actually do any Manning or nannying, but he will go ahead and sell what's coming up.
In 22 minutes, I will swaddle you.
In 22 minutes, you'll be getting a warm bottle. And then you check your watch and you step back into the bathroom and slam the door.
Right. And it's not really 22 minutes. Usually it's either never or 5 minutes. But I will come and be your Manny. And you know I'm a good dad. I'm very good with kids.
Now, you know, Pat loves... Now, you just have one son, right?
His birthday is today.
Okay, or a daughter you never talk about who could be a lesbian. But you have a wonderful son. Pat is one of these guys that his son was a fan of The Man Show, and I think that's probably how Pat got on to me and Jimmy. And so Pat would invite us over, and also, whatever your son's into music, right?
Yeah, he's a very good musician.
And he gets to hang out and jam with all the musicians. Oh.
Well, hey, you know what, Carolla? Mm. I don't know what gives with you. Mm. P.O.B. made promises on more than one occasion.
Now, wait a minute. I said I'd put it high on my list. I didn't
promises? P.O.B., I am outraged.
First of all, what does it make me, the insider, to call this show three times and get screamed at?
Well, I just want to say this. I am very seriously considering not coming to the Christmas party this year.
Oh, now, Dave, don't. Now you're just talking. Dave's angry. A lot of this vitriol you're getting is from not being invited to your Christmas party every year that all the celebrities get to go to.
I seriously may not show up.
Pat?
Yes, sir.
What's coming up on the Insider tonight, by the way?
It's all about pictures of babies.
Mm-hmm. Not mine.
Right.
And I said to Jimmy, if you have two babies or twins, you don't want to be on the Insider.
Right.
Because that usually means something's wrong.
Yeah.
Three arms.
But it's all about the Brad and Angelina babies. I mean, these pictures have gone for $4 million. There's lawsuits flying back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
This poor baby will be photographed more than any child since Princess Diana's kids.
When is the couple coming back from Africa?
Had you watched The Insider last night? I know you're busy.
I did watch it, I believe.
We said they were packing up in Namibia.
Uh-huh.
And they're on their way home.
Oh, they're as we speak, because I will meet them at the airport, or do they have their own helipad that's on top of their Malibu house?
Actually, they fly commercial. I don't know if they will this time, but for some reason they fly commercial.
Because they're down with the people.
That's how they roll.
Yeah.
I think they like going through airports and being photographed.
And do you think, now, let me ask you something, P.O.B. Do you think that these people, like a guy like Brad Pitt, in one way seems very private, and in another way only marries celebrities and only does things on a huge stage? Which guy do you think he really is?
Private.
You think he's private?
Yeah, I think he's, I actually think he's, by the way, he's a nice guy. And I actually think he's shy to some extent.
He seems that way, but why hook up with Angelina Jolie? Why not marry your nanny like I'm going to do in a few years and just fly under the radar?
I don't know. That's how they roll, as I said earlier.
All right. Well,
that's how I roll.
He's a very nice guy, but I really think he's just generally shy.
P.O.B., let me just, we have to move on with the news, but let me, make me this promise, okay. And we'll call it even. You did not publish or announce any pictures of, or the birth of my twins. Fine. I'm wounded. I thought we had a relationship.
Fine with that,
but I'm fine with it. But here's all I ask.
Okay.
When I do screw up, when I do get a DUI, when I do beat the crap out of a tranny, when I just give me that's I got a pass.
You have a pass on all of that.
That's all I'm saying. I'll see it on Entertainment Tonight. I'll see it on Access Hollywood, but I will not see it on the inside.
See, you get a complete pass, and that includes the opening, the teases, the radio promos,
yes,
and the closing remarks. Which, by the way, are always a little. It's tough to leave you out of the closing remarks, but you'll get a pass on the closing.
If I put one of the twins in Def Rat Guy's potato gun and fire it toward Mecca, it will not be on the insider.
Can't promise that one.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, I guess it has its limits.
By the way, if you did that, you want to be on the something inside you wants to be on.
I guess you could argue that, just like something inside Brad Pitt wants
like
the
get
attention.
Rid of the SOB and the FPOB.
We'll see.
We'll see.
Right. Look. A lot of people make promises. I don't break my promises, Pat. So I'm not going to promise anything.
I promise not to hang up on you.
Yes. I'll put it high on my list. How about that? Way up there, SOB. Look, if you're going to call yourself POB, you got to know SOB's right around the corner. All right, Pat O'Brien, all is forgiven. Where are we?
Carolla's name's not on was not mentioned on the insider, but I predict that POB's name will be mentioned on something called the Jerk Report.
Very
high
smart.
On his list, define high.
And I'll tell you high on my list. It's the news with Teresa Strasser.
Yesterday displayed images of the bloodied face of feared terrorist Abu Musab al-Zarqawi. He was killed by an American airstrike outside of Baghdad.
Feels good, doesn't it?
Well, the pictures are kind of disturbing.
Yeah, they are. You know, they say the camera adds 10 pounds. The bullet adds like 50 pounds.
Yeah, he's very bloated. Very bloated.
Yeah. Here's the thing. If I die because of an Allied airstrike or something like that, just please drain me of all fluid so I can look nice.
Before your photograph. Maybe some rouge.
The other thing is again, a lot of folks listening, including most everyone in this room, is against the death penalty. But it feels good when a guy gets snuffed out. It just feels better than him getting pulled in, him making cockamamie statements, him calling for jihad against all the infidels, you know, all this stuff. This long drug out, you know, whatever fiasco of these trials. It's nice when the guy's just in the ground. Mm-hmm. Smart bomb, boom, he's gone. And now I know you're against the death penalty, but what about in this instance?
Well, it's war.
Okay.
That's right.
Feels good.
We dropped the bomb on him.
All right, but you're against the war.
I'm against the war, but if we're in the war.
Well, so, but it's war.
Oh, listen, I'm not getting into this with you.
Listen,
I'm against the war,
listen,
but if
hippie,
we're in a war with these men.
You dropped your beads. Go chew on your hemp.
In a related story about terrorism, a little closer to home.
Yes. Oh, I thought we were talking about Zarqawi's enormous girth.
Oh, yes. Back to that.
He was, not only was he bloated, but life on the run evidently didn't shed any pounds off this guy.
It was not life on the jog.
He must have been eating a ton of trail mix to keep that morbid obesity up. But anyway, I think he may have been the fattest of all the terrorists. In fact, I remember his old cartoon from the 70s.
Hey, 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 it's Fat Al Zarqawi, and I'm going to drop a bomb on you. And kill an infidel or two.
Yeah.
You'll have some terror with me and all the gang. Killing everybody while we do our thing. Nah, nah, nah. Gonna have a good time. Nah, nah, nah.
Yeah.
Gonna have a good time.
I'm 9 years old all over again. First, it would be Hong Kong Phooey. Then Fat Al Zarqawi, and then in the news.
Oh, that's
it was
stupid.
Great. It was great.
As I was saying, terrorism closer to home. You know, Americans, we've been told to keep our eye out for suspicious people. And here at the radio station, somebody who works at another one of our sister stations that I won't name was overheard talking about a suspicious person that they felt looked like a terrorist that was in our little green room out there. Mm-hmm. And that person, Ozzy. And here's the irony. This was yesterday when he was holding a bouquet of roses, which he had brought for my birthday.
Yeah.
But and a bowl of delicious food for the rest of us.
Yeah. But how many times have you seen it as he drops the roses in slow motion? And this is how you know he's up to something.
Right.
Something drops real speed, no problem. Help the guy pick it up. You see something dropping in slow motion, it's time for you to dive and shoulder roll, again, unfortunately, in slow motion, and take cover.
I'll
because
be
when
back.
You see dropping in slow motion, all of a sudden, pistol comes out, machine pistol with right. silencer on it, and he just starts spraying bullets all
and
over the place.
And you see a bullet fall slowly. A bullet shall fall slowly to the ground. And then if the child is the victim,
right.
then you see a teddy bear drop slowly.
Right.
Ground.
That's how I know. If I ever see the trike that's rolling slow motion or the teddy bear dropping in slow motion or the swing set going in slow motion and I hear the la 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 la, I'll know someone's la, possessed la, or someone's la, dying. La, 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 la. That's how I'll know somebody's haunted.
In yes. entertainment news, former Vice President Al Gore is now in the movie business with his documentary on global warming called An Inconvenient Truth, which is out in theaters. Here's Gore last night on Leno.
How does it feel being treated like a movie star? Do you like this?
Well, you know, it's not all easy. For example, yeah. I'm in this huge feud with Lindsay Lohan now.
Really? Wow. Yeah. Can you give us a little bit more?
She knows what she did.
Really? Wow.
I wonder who wrote him that joke.
It's not bad.
It's funny, but the sad part is it would be virtually impossible for this guy, probably has 175 IQ, to have come up with that joke himself.
It's most charming he's been ever, I think,
yes.
in that moment. Okay, we were going to talk about the Paris Hilton song. We don't have time. Rusk has just given me a note. But I will say this. Who has the best breasts in Hollywood, according to In Touch Weekly?
Well, we know Brusk is at the top of the list.
Obviously. Number 5, Jessica Alba. Number 4, Halle Berry. Number 3, Selma Hayek. Number 2, Jessica Simpson. And number 1, Scarlett Johansson.
Really?
No.
Scarlett Johansson sprung boobs about a year and a half ago or so. Wasn't thought of as particularly busty for the beginning part of her career. A couple, 2-3 years ago, maybe it's because she was 11. But now seems to have beautiful cans. Although Selma Hayek...
Gorgeous.
Do not knock those brown knockers.
And all these all the girls in the top 5 have their natural boobies.
Yeah.
So.
Or so it seems, yeah. The
well,
more
that
you know.
Be a prerequisite.
Yes.
Right?
Okay. Oh, Bruskin now telling me we do have time for the Paris Hilton story.
Mm. All right.
Because he teased it.
All right. Let's hear it.
Okay. So Paris Hilton's got a song. It's called Stars Are Blind. UB40 came out with a song in 1989 called Kingston Town. Let's play the UB40 song for a second. Take a listen to this. That's kind of the melody there. Now, let's
are you sure this isn't just a setting for your Casio? This is just number 4, right? Just punch that.
Number UB40.
Must be nice to be in UB4. I'd like to start a reggae band, so it's like, what do? Set Casio for number 4. What else? What else? Let's sing about hanging out on the beach. Fantastic.
Should we
weave reefer into it? Sure, why not? Okay, well, we got another hit.
Okay, let's listen to now Paris Hilton, Stars Are Blind. Is this not the same song?
Yes.
Striking similarity.
Yeah, I would argue that the genre is so formatted that they all, almost every, I mean,
the
it sounds like Red Red Wine, too, a little bit. Sounds like The Tide Is High by Blondie.
Do we have that?
Let's see.
Wow.
Wow. It is pretty similar.
Jimmy Kimmel, by the way, on the record is saying he liked the Paris Hilton song.
Yeah.
The man who didn't shame himself enough by his lifelong love of Huey Lewis and the News.
And announcing to me, maybe just because he's a lifelong contrarian, but announcing to me that Man Eater by Hall & Oates was a decent song.
I like it.
Unsure whether he liked the song or was just trying to get under my skin. Either way, it worked on both accounts. Yes, but here's what I think Jimmy was saying, and I heard him say it. Most celebrities that come out with stuff that is just wrong, it's just bad, usually because they try too hard, and it just doesn't work. She has taken a better, lazier approach, not got caught trying. And so anyone who hears this song, hey, if you admit you like the Blondie song or the UB40 song, then you'd be a hypocrite to say you hate this song. So it's kind of smart. Like, you listen to it and you go, nah, it's not bothering me. I don't want to reach through the radio and strangle the guy who sung Popa Zao. So it's kind of all right.
K-Fed?
Yes.
On a last note, Dave's birthday is tomorrow, our own Dave Damashek. He shares that birthday. He's our number one sports guy, and he shares that birthday with another sports great, Tara Lipinski. Wow. I'm Teresa Strasser, and that's the news.
It's time for Dave Damashek's number one sports. Number one sports. Do it, Dave.
Who is Tara Lipinski?
She's a figure skater.
I thought that's who that was.
She won a gold medal at the Olympics.
No, I don't care about that. All right. Game one of the NBA Finals last night in Dallas, Texas. Mavericks pleased the hometown crowd with a 90-80 win. Jason Terry went for 32. Shaq Fu scored 17, but went 1-9 from the free throw line. I, of course, picked the Miami Heat. And Teresa Strasser picked the Dallas Mavericks.
Yes, everyone poo-pooed me, including Jimmy Kimmel. I said Mavs in seven. I said they'll have no problem with Shaq. They've got Dampier. He can bang around. And they have a decent backup center.
A girl who knows about sports.
Yeah.
I don't like that. Putting me to shame. I don't enjoy that.
You know a lot more than I do.
Well, we'll play trivia. National pastime. Little swoon going on right now for the first place team in the NL West. Arizona Snakes with four straight losses after getting dumped by the Metropolitans last night. Gigantics pick up ground with a win against the Pittsburgh Family. Padres lose to the Beer Makers. Senior Circuit. Oakland athletically superior to the Tribe. Mariners lose to the Twinks. So much to get to. 9:00 World Cup begins. I'm going to unveil a new song. I'm putting the Chichu Temu song. That album, it's wild success. It's time to move on. You know, am I going to be a one-hit wonder, or do I move on to my next project? Today, I try to move on. Now, and by the way, at the Dallas game, Terrell Owens, of course, the beloved wide receiver. Everyone's in love with him. He's now a Dallas Cowboy. He was at the Mavericks game wearing a Miami Heat jersey. Here's what he had to say about it.
Terrell, you got to know that wearing a Shaquille O'Neal jersey is probably not going to win you many fans here in Dallas. What's up with that?
That's all right. I'll win them over when the season begins.
Yeah, you realize all the guys who are sort of always claim that they're falsely persecuted are the folks that always start the trouble.
That's
the same
right.
as your buddy who got into a fight every weekend in high school or in college. There's always someone else's fault. They're always just minding their business. All they do is go out and agitate. This is all he does. He gets into it with everybody. I don't think he feels like he's alive unless someone is booing him or pointing a finger at him.
Yes, as you've said before, why does no one like you? You. That's the reason.
Right. Yes. You're an a-hole. That's
now,
why no one likes you.
We have the Belmont this weekend, of course, and as we've discussed at length already, so often a thoroughbred's name is great. If it's a great name for a thoroughbred, it's a great name for a Wang and vice versa.
What does your grandpa say?
Good for the Stang, good for the Wang.
Now, these are some
That's
great
what
names for the Wang.
God rest his soul. God rest his soul. That's what the last words.
Bless him.
Listen to some of these past winners of the Belmont. These
yes,
are great
okay.
names, not
right.
just for the thoroughbred, but also for your Wang.
Mm-hmm.
Point given. So-so. Here's a good one. Commendable. Touch Gold. Thunder Gulch. Actually, that might be a better Teresa's vagina name.
Yeah.
Still.
I like it.
Hell of a ride, Thunder Gulch.
How about this one? Go and Go.
That's I like that, too, yeah.
Making promises. How about this one? Creme fraiche.
Baby, you look like you could use a little creme fraiche.
Conquistador Cielo.
Nice.
These guys didn't win, but these are still great names. Majestic Prince, we've heard before. I like that one a lot.
Solid.
Be My Guest, an invitation to the ladies. Woodman, maybe a little on the nose, but good. And this maybe is my favorite. King Mambo.
King Mambo. Again, if you're going to the track and you're going to lay down a bet, pick a horse that would make a good Wang name.
Yes. And also, I believe we have our horse expert, our pony expert, in Vegas, the Ed.
You know what I love? I you know when they run those lottery commercials, the legalized gambling for retarded people, and they tell you to use your kid's birthday, use the license plate of your car, use your anniversary. That makes just as much mathematical and scientific sense as you going to the track and picking the best name for your Wang and putting $100 on it.
true.
Fantastic. That's why I love the lottery. Ed is on the phone. Ed is on line three. The Ed?
Hey, Adam. Welcome back, Carter.
Thank you, buddy. Appreciate that.
I'm glad you had the babies.
Thank you.
I like them a lot.
Three more to go to catch up with you, the Ed.
That's right.
He won't do that.
All right, the Ed, quickly, because we're running late. You have some picks for the Belmont Stakes?
For the Belmont, I'm going to pick the name. Well, Teresa don't got a wang, but she got another thing. So I'm going to name it the Bluegrass Cat, and that's the horse I'm going to take for it.
Mm-hmm. I like that. Yeah. Last I checked.
I called the other day.
I had to bleep that out. Jimmy almost never uses the N-word on air. Off the air, it's all he uses. But on the air, I've never heard him use it. So
he scared me and I hung up.
All right. I'm sorry there's bad blood between you and Kimmel. I think he did a great job. Of course, we're a fan of the
air. I liked him, but he didn't like me. He called me that and hung up.
He has problems with people of color. He's told me many times off the air, many times.
I got this irritable bowel syndrome, and it's been hurting me. I'm not going to be able to talk long. I had to go to the...
All right, well, I don't want to hang up on him either, but irritable bowel, bringing up the racial slur, maybe we should just cut our losses. Plus, we have the great Harry Shearer waiting in the wings. So
Bluegrass Cat is his pick.
That's the pick for the Belmont.
Dave Damashek's number one sports.
Well, Harry Shearer is waiting in the wings, a comedy hero of mine, not only doing some of the great voices from The Simpsons, Mr. Burns, Smithers, Ned Flanders, Reverend Lovejoy, Kent Brockman. Wow, this just keeps going. The captain, the sea captain, Lenny, the principal Skinner, Otto, Rainier Wolfcastle, one of my favorites. Just keeps going. But also, I watched Spinal Tap, and I hadn't seen it in a long time. I guess, for some reason, they dusted it off and running it on cable over the weekend. Watched the hell out of that. It is timeless. He was awesome in that as well. He'll be in here. We'll kiss a little ass. He'll read, I think, from the Star Jones book as one or more of those characters. Also, Louis C.K., another brilliant comedian, coming up. All that after this.
There's more coming up.
Hell yeah.
The Adam Carolla Show.
This is a great day for forbidden love.
This just in, Santa Claus is dead.
Don't blame me. I voted for Cassidy Bono.
Obviously, kissing your ass is getting me nowhere.
Yes, the insurance company said you're as well as they're going to pay for.
Well, as a tree said to the lumberjack, I'm stumped.
I'm so sorry, Mr. Burns. This was all my fault.
Treating employees like human beings, that is madness!
And every one of those voices done by our guest, Louis C.K., is going to be up in the 8 o'clock hour. Now we have Harry Shearer.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Harry Shearer.
Not the sea captain.
Not the sea captain.
That's my middle name, Harry, not the sea captain Shearer.
Well, they put it on my list.
I know.
You're so good that I can't read through them. I can't find traces of the other characters in them. So I wouldn't know if you told me you were doing my voice right now and manipulating my mouth through telepathy, I would believe you.
That would be such fun.
Could you do?
That would be good fun.
Could you do me? All you have to
could
do is...
Could you do me?
Oh, my God. That was amazing.
Wait a minute. What happened there? That was just him with the thing.
It's always insulting, isn't it? Is it ever flattering when someone does your voice?
No, but it's like the mirrors. You don't like the mirrors either.
Yeah.
You don't like you.
I don't.
Uh-oh.
I this is so sad. Cathartic. Harry Shearer.
You want to keep sitting? Or you
do
want
you
to
do
lie
a
down?
Therapist character?
No, I actually did. The one character on The Simpsons that got killed off was Dr. Marvin Monroe.
Oh, I love
him. Was a family therapist early in the... Family therapist with a very irritating voice.
How would he have treated Adam's dislike for himself?
Adam, you're not the only one. That's the good news.
Well, I remember Dr. Monroe was one of the earliest Simpson episodes I saw with the shock they brought everyone into family therapy.
That was a good episode.
Yeah, The Simpsons has evolved so much from its earlier episodes. People's voices have changed, the animation. You really don't realize until you go back and look at some stuff from season one how much the show has changed.
Yeah, fortunately, they don't let you watch a lot of the old episodes ever.
It's jolting. It's weird.
Except every night at 6 on Channel 11.
Yeah, but they don't show the first. They don't show. I don't see the first season that much.
Really?
Do you guys? They haven't. It seems like intentionally not rerunning it. Well, Homer has a different voice.
Yeah,
for instance.
Yeah. That Homer's voice and Mr. Burns's voice have been the two that really evolved, mainly because we didn't go watch the early episodes when we came in to do season two.
I'm always been a huge fan of The Simpsons, obviously, and then just watched Spinal Tap, which they ran over the weekend.
What cable channel is doing that?
Because I think it was
an invoice to write.
I think it was IFC. I think it was Independent Film Channel, uh-huh. But I'm not positive. It wasn't HBO. I remember sort of glancing at it and thinking, oh, this is cool that they're doing it, and sort of fitting that they're doing it. So it was a sort of hipster cable station, but
so Redford owes me.
I watch it. Yeah, go up to Sundance and bust his chops.
Of course, I know that Homer's voice changed pretty drastically. But what was Monty Burns' original voice?
It was just a little lower. It didn't change drastically. It's I'm a little better than Dan Castellaneta, but no, I hear the early ones, and I hear it was just sort of finding its way. He was evil, but not as evil as he's become. It was more like I can't even do the early Burns. I just go into the current.
Tell Dave the classic Burns. Tell Dave his sports sucks as Mr. Burns.
Dave, I have news for you. We have no further need for a sports-type character on this broadcast. This comes from Mr. Barnett.
Why does that thrill me so much?
I don't know.
However, there's a pit of snakes you're needed in.
It would be nice if you just did custom, pre-recorded firings of people, for their business.
When the show goes off the air, that's the rest of my career.
It'd be perfect. Yeah.
1999, you get a personalized firing.
Yeah, and it'd be one of these things like when you got home, honey, how was your day? Well, good news and bad news. Bad news is I got the pink slip. I got laid off today. Good news, the guy did it as Mr. Burns. It was hysterical.
That is a good business. I thought of another great business, by the way. And I'm sure there are already businesses like this, but not with this name. And I'm giving it away on your show.
Thank you.
Jesus Christ Superstore.
I like that. They sell Christian rock and stuff?
Yeah, Christian everything. Jesus Christ Superstore.
And, well, what you would do is you would buy things like Bibles in bulk. Instead of buying one or two Bibles like I buy every other weekend, you just come back with a chub pack of 500 Bibles.
Family
pack of rosaries.
Big pallet full of Bibles.
That's right.
Holy water sold in 55-gallon drums.
Christian warehouse store.
Yeah. They got the big crosses set up that you can either, for an additional charge, they'll deliver and set up in your yard.
Saints by the mile.
Yeah, nativity scenes. Perfect. I'm writing that down. Again, Spinal Tap, one of my favorite. Anyone who got into comedy or at least tried to and is between the ages of 30 and 50, Spinal Tap has to be on their top three all-time movies. How did that come about? Were you there for the first conception of it?
Yeah. Michael McKean, Christopher Guest, and I were playing. We're in a show that Rob Reiner and I were producing for ABC that was supposed to be a series, but was only ever a pilot.
Mm-hmm.
And we made up this rock band, and Michael still has the little napkin with all the names that might have been.
What were the other ones?
Oh, I don't remember. The only one I remember is that the original writing of Spinal Tap had a Y instead of an I. And it didn't have the umlaut. So, you can see it kind of finding its way. But so we did it there, and then we all got together and said, maybe there's... Actually, we were lying on the floor. There was a climactic scene where we're on Midnight Special, which in those days they had bands doing kind of... Not videos yet, but performances that had video segments in them, kind of reaching toward the video project kind of thing. And we were lying on the floor waiting for the smoke to form around us, except the prop guy screwed up, and it wasn't smoke. It was just boiling drops of oil falling on us. And we started ad-libbing these characters and then went, wait a minute, maybe there's something more we can do with that.
It is... Turn up tonight. What are we hearing? Are we hearing Sex Farm? Tonight I'm going to rock.
They all sound the same, don't they? They're all in A. I know that.
I hate to admit this, but the songs are very enjoyable.
See, they
get under your skin. Like Tonight, I'm Gonna Rock You.
Yeah.
This is where the drummer blows up.
Yeah.
They go to Japan. Sex Farm has hit the charts.
See,
in
you
Japan.
Give a, you give a guy crap for liking Maneater, and you like this.
I know. I bet if you tried to quiz me on Spinal Tap, I could answer just about any question you threw at me. Although it has been a while. I only caught half of it the other night.
Second drummer.
Ooh. Your life, I was about to say what maybe Harry Shearer could quiz you as Monty Burns, and then it occurs to me, that must just be your whole annoying life must just be, do that voice! Is this what you deal with constantly?
Was Ed Begley the first drummer?
Yes.
Who they got rid of?
See, we're just ignoring his question.
Yeah, we are.
So big.
It was a tacit agreement we all made.
Yeah. I was fired moments
Burns
ago.
Let you go
anyway,
moments
so
ago.
Yeah, Ed Begley was the first, but the name of the second drummer, you never see him.
Small Stubbs. It wasn't Denny Upham.
Nope.
Who I enjoy. It wasn't Smalls.
No, I'm Derek Smalls.
Yeah, you're Derek Smalls. Was it? But it wasn't Joe Buddha Joe or Big Joe.
Close.
Joe Mama.
Oh,
was it Joe
you're
Mama?
So close. No.
Joe.
Stumpy Joe.
Stumpy Joe.
See? You were right there.
All right, I had the Joe.
There you go.
I had
Thank
the
you.
Joe part.
Yeah, you did.
Harry Shearer in studio. Comedy hero of everyone who's
Thank
a fan
so
of the genre. He is going to read from the Star Jones book for us, I do believe. As, one of the characters. Could be Burns, could be Flanders.
Is this my cue?
No. We're going to take a break.
Oh, okay. Fine.
This is my cue to give the CD a plug. Harry Shearer dropping anchors.
And we get back, he will continue to not answer my questions.
That's right.
I promise.
Who was that who just spoke? DVD, Harry Shearer, Now You See It, available as we speak. And when we come back, Harry Shearer is going to read from the Star Jones book. As Mr. Burns.
Tell me one more time as I hold your hand.
Well, all right. This is the Adam Carolla Show.
Adam Carolla in the morning. Hi, I'm Paul Rodriguez. You're listening to Adam Carolla en la mañana. See, the two L's become a Y. Why? I don't know.
Yeah, there's more coming up. The Adam Carolla Show.
Mr. Shearer. Doing a big show this week, huh?
Oh, yeah. We're doing an HBO live comedy hour.
Live comedy hour. Boy, that sounds exciting.
Oh, yeah.
When are you going to tape this show?
No, it's live. See, it's a live show. We're doing it right here at the theater, Saturday night. It's live.
Oh, live. Oh. When am I going to get to see it?
Big Bottoms.
Yeah.
Harry Shearer. In studio.
That may be the most covered non-hit song in rock and roll.
So be it. I love this song.
Thank you.
Yeah. Pink Torpedo?
Yeah.
Yeah. I know all the words.
That's a good racehorse name.
Yeah.
It's true.
I don't know the words to the Star Spangled Banner. I really don't, but I know at least 5 Spinal Tap songs I could sing straight through without screwing up.
The banner is longer.
It's so pathetic. God damn, is that pathetic. But what a fan. Harry Shearer in studio, also from The Simpsons, one of my favorite shows, does just about every voice except for the sea captain, which is on my list, and I'm now scratching off. Cameron is a fan of yours. He's on line one from Los Angeles. Cameron?
Adam, it's a pleasure to talk to you and be on your show, and congratulations for everything that's happening in your life.
Thank you.
Harry, man,
you
are a talented individual, and you're a humble man. I tell you, I'm born and raised in Santa Monica, and seeing that big face on the side of your pad was always a trip when I was on the mushrooms. Let me tell you, Harry is not only a man on the screen, i.e. the newscaster on that television show with Jim Carrey's life, but he does that great radio show on Sundays. You got to tell them about it. Harry,
oh, the
man.
Show. Yeah,
yeah.
Thank you.
You are funny. I love your Al Gore impressions. And,
oh, thank you
I'll
so much.
I'll get off the phone because I'll keep going. But, Harry, you're right on, man. We need more people like you in the world.
Thank you.
And like Adam also, because you need to have laughter, man. You need to be able to see the preposterousness of things. And at least you are motivating us in a humorous way to see the farce of things that are in life.
I don't want to correct your grammar, but it's preposterous-me.
Okay, well, hey, preposterousness. You guys, I got to go back to work.
Thank you, Cameron.
Thanks, Cameron. And if you have any of those shrooms left,
yeah. I don't think he does.
Apparently not. The radio show is on Sunday at 10 on another station. It's called The Show, and it's also available at HarryShearer.com. whenever you want. Should I read this as Al Gore?
Yeah, that he brings it up, you have the Star Jones book in front of you.
Yes, it's a physical, emotional, and spiritual journey to finding love by Star Jones.
This is a chapter called Passion. Let me say a few words about passion before I stop talking about sex and dating. An immoral relationship. My man, he's passionate. He was when we were dating, and he never stopped. But passion has to be something more than sex. You can have a passion for growing roses, for painting, for exuberance in life. Al is passionate about some textures. This is like me talking about me. This is weird.
Cathartic.
This is so weird. This is like back to the earth tone period.
He's passionate about
some textures. He loves the feel of cashmere.
Oh, he's straight as an arrow, that boy. Yeah.
First Christmas, my mother brought him a gray.
Uh-oh. Al Gore with a Freudian slip?
Oh, isn't that something? Tipper will never forgive me for that. A gray cashmere sweater out of the blue. She didn't know about his passion. He loves that sweater more than any other article of clothing. And whenever he's contemplating something or something's just not right, Al puts on that sweater and his pajama bottoms, and it's like a cocoon for him.
How narcissistic do you have to be to wax on about your beard's love of textures?
You got pages to fill, man. You got a book contract.
Well, we'd put a recipe for gazpacho in it, so at least we learned something. What am I going to do, get him a swatch for Christmas?
A cashmere swatch would be nice.
He loves the feel of it.
Loves the feel.
Harry, Listen, I'm just saying,
if you like to rub fabric, you're either gay or retarded. Those are the two folks that like to rub fabric.
Maybe you're just in the business. Have you ever thought of that?
Possibly be. I'm sorry, Dead One. What were you saying?
I was going to ask Harry, speaking of books, what did you think of Ann Coulter's new book?
Not shrill enough.
No.
It needs to be more shrill.
Yeah, she hasn't gone after the Holocaust victims yet.
Well, yeah, those harpies. Yeah. Need a talking to.
Yeah.
Please, yeah.
Whiners.
Listen, it's all a plea for food.
You think she's just hungry?
She's just hungry. It's all an ill-disguised plea for food.
She's one sandwich away from being a kind human being.
That's one sandwich away from being reasonable.
Harry Shearer, by the way, has himself a CD out called Dropping Anchors, which is available now. Tell us about the CD.
It sounds like
a bumpy transition, but the Anchors anchor man.
I loved what you did there.
Was it a little Morning Zoo, the sound effect to you?
It was. It was a little Morning Zoo, but a little rock and roll. This week, you know, there have been these stories about Dan Rather being sort of eased out finally at CBS. More used up than a $10 tire. And so the CD is basically about all these guys and gals who just suddenly fled the anchor scene. You know, Brokaw, Rather, Jennings for other reasons.
Sure.
Ted Koppel left Nightline. Even Barbara Walters left 2020, and even Aaron Brown was forced out at CNN. And so it's just a comedy record about all these people, why they had to leave, and what they may be doing now.
I'm only laughing because I have a request for you as soon as you're done with this. You reminded me
that's
of something.
Okay.
Oh, good.
I'm done. Go ahead. It's on sale now.
Favorite thing I ever saw on the news must have been circa 1987. I was at my grandparents' house. I don't know why they left town. I decided to squat their crappy house. And I was watching Ted Koppel, who was explaining that at news, Dateline, Florida, Tallahassee, the band Two Live Crew was arrested in Florida and then went on to explain that they're known for their controversial song, Me So Horny. And coming out of Ted Koppel's mouth, it was awesome.
Man,
and I thought,
you wanted to hear Ted Koppel once more say, Me So Horny.
That's what he said.
As it were. If you will.
I knew at that time that the teleprompter was just loaded up and these guys were nothing but monkeys at Reddit, because if he wrote his own copy, he would have never written down Me So Horny.
He probably got very angry at somebody after that.
Yes.
There's probably some yelling going on at whoever wrote that copy.
Well, you know, you got to say the name of what they're famous for.
True.
How do you skip that? Best known for a song about
Teenage Tumescents.
But just, I don't know, just say controversial rap group.
No, you got to say something about what they're known for, because they're not, they're like, they go like this, you know, so you got to say.
Well, you're right, you're right, that's right. I was just delighted to see a guy with a comb over saying me so horny.
Did it get you hot?
Yeah, it really did. Made me want to put a thong on and head down to the beach.
News ain't so just for the white man. It's for the bros and sisters, too.
Harry Shearer, thank you for coming into the studio.
My pleasure, thank you.
We're all huge fans. Harry Shearer, Dropping Anchor, is available now. Also, DVD. Harry Shearer, Now You See It, available now as well. And Mazel Tov.
Thank you. You too.
Much more success and continued success
these
for you.
These are my children, you see.
Yes. Yeah. The CDs and the DVDs. For me, it's my cars.
Product is my children.
We'll take a quick break. We'll come back. Louis C.K. coming up on the show. Also, we may do a little reenactment, one of our famous reenactments as well. You look surprised, Dio.
Are you still with us?
The dead one. Yeah. Good luck carrying it by yourself.
Oh, come on. Well, maybe Strasser and I will work it out.
I don't know. I'm ready.
Okay, baby. All that coming up after this.
Adam Carolla Show.
Listen. Anastasia Ashley, the world's best professional female and foxiest female surfer.
Come on, Ashley.
Dave, is there something good that I'm missing?
No, you were talking about, I don't know, like some type of hookup between you and my boyfriend and me or something. What?
Dave, if you drank a 12-pack, would you give Ben Roethlisberger a reach around? You could use your terrible towel to clean up.
Stay here, because there's a lot more coming up. The Adam Carolla Show.
This is Louis C.K. Call Adam Carolla now at 1-866-901-ADAM.
Wow, what a coincidence. Louis C.K. coming up on the program sometime this hour. Very funny comedian. Also makes horrible jokes about his children, which I enjoy. And now that I have children, I'd like to take a page from his book. So we'll bring him in a second. Also coming up, we have Vita Guerra, who is the booty queen from FHM. Big Tad. Big Tad, a big fan.
She got a great ass!
I was sizing up Big Tad in the bathroom only moments ago, and I thought, Big Tad doesn't look
gay.
He doesn't. Big Tad doesn't normally look like a Harvard faculty member anyway. But when he takes the oversized fake silver chain and hangs it outside of the black wrestling shirt, you really know where this guy's head is at. And I thought to myself, why do people work hard to cause themselves to get themselves further into a mire that they're already in? I thought to myself, if Big Tad lost the goofy goatee and the double pierced ears, if he got himself some cool frames for some glasses and dressed a little hip, you know, once in a while there's a heavy set guy who's gay, but he still looks hip and he still looks cool. I don't know if he's wearing a black turtleneck and cool frames. He's wearing cool shoes. I don't know how he pulls it off, but this guy's cool and his weight is not an issue because he's cool. There's straight guy versions of this, too. Guys are in the music industry or something. They wear, first off, they're big guys, so they wear clothing that sort of work on them. They'll wear like a black t-shirt and a black blazer, and they wear cool frames, and they grow a full beard, whatever, and they just look cool and hip. I don't know how it is. Tad, whatever it is,
Tad,
you're not helping.
Of dice.
Hey, I'm hiding my double chin right now, so back off. This is why the goatee is like this right now.
Listen, Big Tad, your chin and your penis have now connected somewhere around your navel. The golden spike was driven many weeks ago.
Wow, that
and
means it's
now we've now connected his gunt with his chin.
Listen, I have had no complaints about my sexual drive, all right? So back off.
Your sexual drive.
Well, okay, it's been 3 years ago, but you know what? I've been able to do the job.
I always love it when scary, unattractive people brag that they've had no complaints. Look, people don't complain to your face. The fact that you never get a second phone call after the lovemaking, that's all the complaint that ever needs to be issued. You know when you have that snaggletooth, heavy-set chick go, hey, I don't get any complaints. Yeah, because the guys kill themselves shortly after making love to you.
Hey, I've got callbacks, so, you know.
Really?
Yeah.
3 years, Dad.
Yeah, I know.
But, Dad, let me ask you something.
The living at home,
the silver chain that you got from the swap meet,
Oh, this one?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. I'm around my neck. Yeah,
what about it? What do you think? Helping or hurting?
No, I get a lot of compliments about this this chain.
That's because people are searching.
No, they like the chain. They think it's really cool.
What about the flaming playing cards?
Hey,
tattooed on your forearm.
Hey, I'll get Billy after you, so shut up.
Eek.
What? He has the hand of cards. Is it? What is it? Pair of threes?
No, on my left arm, I've got blackjack and dice that add up to seven.
Tad, how many do you need to get blackjack?
Wait, what?
What number equals blackjack?
Oh, please.
Oh, God, don't ask
this
me that
is getting
right
sad.
Now.
Yeah. Let me tell you
what
something.
What number equals blackjack, Dad?
11 and a 10.
Okay.
What does that add
up to?
21.
I don't... look, I'm done roasting Big Tad. Big Tad has his own personal sense of style. He calls Fat Fred Durst circa 1998.
I'm from OC, baby. This is OC right here.
Okay.
Yeah, this isn't the Valley. This is OC look.
How about you just represent one guy from the OC, not the entire populace of Orange County?
I missed you, Adam.
Okay, brother. Saying, I don't know. It's the same advice I yell at the TV set when I see the 400-pound women of color with the 4-inch long acrylic nails with the unicorns airbrushed on them. Do you think this is helping? Is there a man alive that says, you have an ass the size of a jukebox? Oh, look at those nails. I'm in. I am in. Now I'm officially horny. I didn't see the huge novelty acrylic nails. All right.
Now Pad's dancing.
Sorry,
Big
Tad.
Rolling.
Teresa Strasser here. Louis C.K. coming in. We were still thinking about doing a little reenactment, as we like to do from time to time. Teresa, you have the story, do you know?
Yes, yeah. We talked about this last week, shortly after it happened, or the week before. A 41-year-old man, he was sort of caught cheating. His wife found a text message on a cell phone that appeared to be from another woman, and he really wanted to prove to his wife that he had been faithful, that he wasn't cheating on her.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess the way that he came up with was that he would cut off his own penis to prove that he had not been cheating.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, the wife rushed in. He was bleeding. He had to have his penis reattached.
As I've said, I tried this with my wife when I got caught cheating, but because I'm the ace man, did not use my own penis. I found a hobo, and he was drunk, and he was passed out under an overpass, and I cut his penis off. The one tactical mistake I went with is I shouldn't have went with a black guy. That's when I realized.
2020 hindsight.
Yeah, the more you know. Next time, I find myself a white bum.
When you roll a hobo to steal his penis, make sure it matches your race.
That's right. That's important. And again, this isn't a racist statement, although it was bigger than mine. But go with the same skin color. Otherwise, it's just the jig is up almost immediately.
That's the kind of stuff I learned in sensitivity training.
Just
yesterday. Stuff like when, you know, cutting off hobos' penises.
Important to go with your own race.
Right. They said that.
So, according to our reenactment, now Dave, who's now officially dead to us after being fired by Mr. Burns.
Speaking of being cheated on, I hope Teresa's going to fill in the reenactment in my usual seat. I hope you and your Chippy are going to be very happy together.
Don't, David.
I think this may be my first and last reenactment. So,
whatever it is, please do not sit there with your arms folded giving Teresa the stink eye the entire time. Thank you.
Nothing but the best. Adam, I just want you to be happy.
Oh, don't worry. All right. Dave, it's not you. It's me. I hate you. Always wanted to use that. Never had to wave us, but perhaps one day. All right. So, Teresa, you'll be playing my wife.
I'll be the wife who thinks that she's been cheated upon.
Mm-hmm.
You're the husband
who's
trying to prove that he's been faithful.
Mm-hmm. And is there only one way that'll satisfy you?
You're going to have to go pretty far.
All right.
I think.
Well, let's try. So we take up the scene. Maybe we're in the kitchen.
Right.
You just found out the news about the text message from my old lady.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I checked your cell phone, and there was a message. It was not from me.
Mm. Yeah. Listen. Monkey nipples. I have, yeah, I look, what can I say? I'm not going to lie to you. I have too much respect for you to lie. Not so much that I won't bang other chicks, but too much to look in the eye and lie to you. I was seeing another woman. I broke things off. It's never going to happen again, and I hope you're satisfied. I hope
Did
that's
you
enough for you.
Did you call her monkey nipples?
I called her Frisbee Areolas.
So... You were cheating on me.
I did. I was with somebody else. I broke it off, and it's never going to happen again. And I apologize.
So
and
you're sorry.
I apologize, and I hope we can put this behind us.
You hope you? How can I ever know that you're going to be faithful to me? You're sorry.
Well, I gave you my word.
Your
As
word?
A gentleman, I did apologize, and now I'd like to just sort of move forward and put this ugly ugliness behind us.
Just you're sorry.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you what. I will gladly get you some roses tomorrow, and then we'll be even, and then we can move forward and just put this behind us.
Did you have sex with this woman?
You know,
Did you?
Oh, just like 228 times.
And you're giving me roses.
Well, I will get you a baker's dozen. That is a full 13 roses.
I know.
And okay. Well, I'll tell you what then. How about a little breakfast in bed Sunday, huh? You sleep in. I'll give the kids the Cheerios, and they'll come right in with the toast and eggs, huh?
Toast and eggs.
Yeah. I say between the roses and the breakfast in bed, we'll be about even, huh?
Because you slept with another woman 228 times. You think you're going to make it up to me with roses and toast and eggs, and I'm supposed to trust you that you're going to be faithful?
I just feel like I want to move forward and not look in the rear view anymore. So again, I apologize.
Yeah, because your mistress is in the rear view. I need to know that I can trust you.
All right, I'm going to get you a gift certificate to Burke Williams, okay?
For what?
And then we're even, okay? And then we'll call it a push, and we'll move forward in our lives because there's no more I can do. Just one regular massage, not the deep tissue.
Not even a scrub? I mean, you cheated on me. Cheated on me.
No, and the tip won't be included either. So now, if we can just move forward and you can finish making dinner, I can go watch some TiVo and we can call it a life.
You would like me. We took a vow. We took a vow. Till death do us part. And you went out on me.
Okay.
And you
All right. Well, listen, I've offered some solutions to this. Obviously, you're not taking any of them.
No.
What would you like me to do?
It's just going to have to be bigger. I don't want the massage, the roses, the breakfast in bed. I need something.
Something bigger?
Bigger.
Okay, a tennis bracelet. I hear you. I know what you're saying. I'm going to go down to Zales this week and I'll get you a tennis bracelet. So we're even now. We got the flowers, you got the massage, you got tennis bracelet, you got breakfast in bed. Let's just push forward with our lives now.
Well, you know, Kobe Bryant cheated and he got his wife.
He got her ring.
Like,
I'll get you a tennis bracelet. We're not in the same tax bracket.
I don't care. You cheated on me and you had sex with another woman. I don't know what kind of diseases you brought home to me. You brought home to our marital bed. You tainted our whole relationship and our family. And you just want to give me a tennis bracelet?
I actually gave her crabs, if it's any consolation.
It's a small one.
Herpes simplex too, as well.
What? A tennis bracelet?
Mm-hmm. Anyway, I think we're good. I think we're even. There's no more a man can do.
Do you think you might see her again? I mean...
No, it's over. I texted her.
You texted
It's over. Yeah, it's over. But what do you want me to do? Spill my own blood? Please, woman.
I need to know that this is never going to happen again. I need certainty that you're never, ever, ever going to cheat on me
again. You have my word as a gentleman who bangs other chicks outside of marriage.
I'm going to need something more.
Okay, what do you want? A lock of hair? What? I don't know. What do you want, a stool sample?
Hold on. Did you say something about spilling blood?
I did. I used it as a metaphor.
I know, but I like it.
As a kooky metaphor. What do you want?
I think I like it.
Okay, so what do you want me to do? Prick my finger and just smear it on IOU? I'll do that. Go to the pin cushion. I'll prick my finger.
You said prick.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll prick the finger.
And spilling blood.
Yeah, I'll do that if you want. You want to do a little blood oath, that'll be fine. Just go get a sterilized pin, would you please?
You were on the right track about the spilling blood and the prick. If you combine those two, I may be able to forgive you for cheating on me, but I don't know. It's going to have to be something pretty big.
You'd like me to spill some blood on my unitage?
getting close.
Oh, I see. You want the blood from the phallus. You would like me to actually prick my penis and give the blood oath from that.
Well, since we're in the kitchen, you see those knives?
Yeah.
You see that really sharp one that I use to cleave meat?
Yes.
This may be asking a lot, but is there any way? I mean, I want to forgive you. I want to be able to trust and love again. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. This might be a lot to ask.
No, just go ahead and spit it out.
Can you say goodbye to your little friend, your little cheating friend?
I told Deidre we would not be together.
No, I mean...
And she's not little. She's 5'7". I wouldn't call her little. She's
I'm
small,
talking about...
drink of water.
I'm talking about your Wang. Not Vera
Phil
Wang.
Phil Wang from accounting?
No, not Vera Wang. If you want me to trust you again, I'm going to need you to call it what you will. The Woodman, the King Mambo, the Majestic Prince, Thunder Gulch.
Good
go
for the
go.
Wang, good for the Stang. You know, my grandfather always said that. Yeah.
Listen, I just think, you know, you slept with Deirdre a lot.
You would like me to cleave off my own Wang.
It's that or I go.
Okay. All right. I'll do it.
Hand it over.
I'll do it to prove. Well, let me do it first.
Hand it over.
I'll do it to prove my love. But first off, this is the last time I cleave off my own penis.
Well, then you tell it to Deirdre.
Number one. Number two, I'm going to need you to transport it in a glass of milk and not non-fat, not skim, whole milk. All right? Not worried about calories at this point. Not sure if it works that way. Point is, cold milk, and I'll be right behind you on my moped as we rush to the hospital. And one more thing.
Yes.
Do not do that thing you did last time I cleaved off my weenus, which is produced a fungo bat, threw it up, and yelled, get to.
I promise not to do that.
All right. Then so be it. I will cleave off my own Wang, but not this and the tennis bracelet, right? Just the Wang. Oh. All right, now you're asking way too much.
All right, just the Wang. Just cleave it off and hand it to me, and I'll put it in the jar of milk.
Well, I'll do it. I'm not going to like it. While you're removing the cleaver from the drawer, please get a wooden spoon for me to bite down upon.
This will almost be as painful as breaking my heart, which you did. Almost.
Well. Now, what do you want? You want the nuts, too, sweetie? Quick bust in what's left of my genitalia. Please.
Chop, chop. All right, let's all right. go. All I right. have
and,
all day.
And scene. I did not want to actually get to the part where I cleaved off my own
I did.
Unit.
I really did.
Thank you. Powerful stuff. Uh-oh. Uh-oh. We have somebody on a cell who wants Dave back in the reenactment.
Yeah, I wasn't good.
You know, you were solid. Myers?
Yeah.
You miss Dave and his reenactments?
It's not Dave. I think that was just a bad reenactment for to come in on. But yeah, that was the. I'm sorry. That was the worst reenactment of all time.
I play a woman better
I'm
than
sorry.
Teresa. I make a more believable.
I know. I'm kind of butch to play a woman.
I don't blame Teresa.
And usually they're good. I love your show. I listen to your show every morning. I drive for a living, so pretty much I see your show from the time it starts, time mm-hmm. it ends. Mm-hmm. Man show, one of the greatest shows of all time.
Mm-hmm. But that was a subpar reenactment.
Yeah, that was subpar. Yeah.
Now that Adam's run off with his new little chippy.
I tried to give Dave the job back, but I think he probably knew I'd fail.
Yeah. Smart tactical.
Don't turn this on me.
Tactical.
All right, Meyer.
Kathy Burns fired me.
I'm sorry, sir.
All right, Dave, you're back in. Nothing to do with you. You were fantastic. You'll just never get to do another one of those again.
Go home and get your f***ing shine box.
As long as I have air in my lungs, you'll never be able to do one of those again.
I was confused about the...
No, you did a fine job. I blame myself for ever hiring you. All right, we're going to take ourselves a break. Louis C.K. coming in studio. Give me some tips on parenting. We'll talk to him after this.
Hey, this is the Adam Carolla Show.
Now listen.
We're playing What Can't Adam Complain About? You call in, you throw out the topic, I mow through them.
The comedic gold of Dave Damashek's Jerk Report.
That never-ending dirge from yesterday, that 22-minute dirge
That's
from yesterday.
That's because you kept interrupting
22 minutes long.
That's because you interrupted.
Tell you what would be faster, name the people who aren't on the Jerk Report.
Stay here because there's a lot more coming up. The Adam Carolla Show.
I thought when I got married I was done masturbating in closets. Put that away, man.
Safety's on. Oh, now it's on.
Why don't you know, Papa?
Because I didn't pay attention in school.
Why?
Because I was high all the time.
Louis C.K. in the studio. Lucky Louis, name of the show, premieres Sunday right after Entourage, 10:30, HBO. Well, that's a can't miss.
Oh, thank you.
Well, Entourage is really hitting its stride this year.
Yeah, no, it's very good.
And I'm sure your show is going to be good, too. But even if it blows, people will just watch.
People just kind of have to watch this a minute.
They have to watch what comes on after. Uh-huh. No. I've seen a lot of the previews for it, and it's something that hasn't been done really before, right? A sitcom, a three-camera sitcom on a pay-per-view station.
We're the first one to do that, yeah.
Is it nice? I mean, not having to deal with the man?
Yeah, it's great because we can just make the show funny. We just sort of strip away all the other concerns and just make the show as funny as possible.
You don't have to deal with the FCC and the censors and all these people, which when you do TV shows on network, even on cable, if it's basic cable, you have to argue with these people all the time. Yes. And they're always the oldest, most out of touch people you've ever met in your life. Mm-hmm. But what about the suits over at HBO, if in fact they have suits?
No, nothing. I mean, they just want the show to be good. And they're hard on you, but only for quality. Like, you have to prove that the show is good and original, but they don't care even a little bit about what we're saying as far as that. They just don't. We have this one scene in an episode where Jim Norton says the C word in a religious context about
Christ?
15 times. No, the other C word. Yeah, Christ and the other one. Those are the two. Anyway, he says it like 15 times in one scene, and so I was waiting for the note, and the only note for that whole episode, they said, you mentioned TBS Broadcasting, and that's a partner with us, so we'd rather you change the network that you're mentioning. So we changed that to CBS, and that fixed the whole episode for them.
Do you ever feel like when we used to do the Man Show, Comedy Central, we felt like rebellious teenagers that were constantly pushing against a step parent, testing their limits.
Yeah.
Do you feel out of control because you can say the C word?
Well, you have to be your own cop. But really, we just do what comes naturally. Like, I don't know. I talk like that. I have a potty mouth. And, so I just talk, I use those words as much as I do in real life. That's all. The reason I'm doing it on HBO is because I just wanted to be comfortable. I wanted to just talk like a real person.
Right.
And when I watch regular sitcoms, I just know that they're filtering out a bunch of words.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes me kind of uncomfortable. It makes me not really...
Yeah.
Like when I do stand-up on the road, sometimes I get offers from colleges, and a lot of colleges want you to clean up the act. But I don't work those places. Because I just don't feel right if I'm not just talking like myself.
So. Because I'm so used to being on the radio, use the abbreviated F for the F word and C for the C word.
Yeah.
And so when I'm yelling, I'm literally going, these effing A's and their C wives come in here. And I just seem like it's like a really bad Sesame Street.
Such a Nancy in a bar fight. F you, dude.
Yeah.
You're a real J-O.
Yeah, no, and the thing is that these words are important because they show emphasis. And they're emotional words. They're not intellectual words. So and when this show is about the struggles of being a parent with not a lot of money and my wife hates me and my kids, a douchebag, and so from that real relatable difficulty, when I say the F word, people kind of latch onto it. I think
you have a couple of kids, right?
I got two. I got a 1-year-old and a 4-year-old. Yeah.
And I like it because you're not one of these parents that thinks their kid is that precious. I like
no,
that. You're
I mean,
lukewarm
first of all,
on them.
I have my one-year-old, I don't know nothing about her. I have no judgment on her because she hasn't said anything ever.
Right. Right.
Good or bad. No.
Right.
And people, that's the one people ask about. What's going on with your baby? I'm mm-hmm. like, she's one. Have you ever seen a baby? That's what's going on with her. Exactly.
Yes.
What do you think's going on?
Yeah, she's what? She got fired from Target. She's getting an abortion. There's not a lot to say. She doesn't have a lot of personality.
Yeah, she brought home a black guy, and we're not speaking.
Yeah, exactly.
But the dropped out of college. Yeah. She's cooking meth. Yeah, what are you supposed to do?
No, exactly. But then now the other one's four, and she's got a fully formed personality, and I guess the best way to describe her is that she's... Well, I can't say it here. All right, she's a douchebag.
Use the C word again?
Yeah, she is.
She's a little bit of a douchebag?
She's a big bit of a douchebag. She's rude. She doesn't... How many times can you say, put your shoes on to a person before you just want to kick them in the face?
Yeah.
It just gets... Here's the way I feel about it. If you're with a group of people that are trying to go somewhere...
Right.
And you can't go because one member of your party just refuses to put their shoes on... That person's a douchebag.
Yeah.
She's only
being
four.
Rude.
I mean, maybe she has
yeah,
trouble
but
with the laces.
It doesn't matter. Because once you live with her for a while, the cuteness wears off. She's also mean and rude.
Really?
We're in the kitchen the other day, and I'm talking to my wife, and then she interrupts without, you know, which fine.
Says, excuse me?
No, of course not.
Rude.
She just goes, Mama, I saw a doggy today. And so I'm not going to make a thing out of that. I was actually talking about something important. So I go, really? Where was the doggy? She says, I'm telling Mama, not you.
Wow.
And I'm like, hey, screw you. I was just asking to be nice anyway.
We weren't even talking about dogs.
Yeah, like,
until
I
you
even care about, like, that's going to be a great story that you saw a dog.
Might have been better than my reenactment.
Yeah.
My kid pipes up with that. My kid cuts off dad. He's going to get a timeout at the bottom of the pool.
That does bother me. When
that's going to be the timeout.
Yeah. The deep end.
Yeah, what's wrong with the timeout? At the bottom of the pool, Adam? All right.
10 minutes.
Ten minutes.
Come back to me when you've thought it
over. Well, Louie, do you have any advice then now as a father of two? Adam now, I just,
you just
had the twins.
Right?
You're just
instant family. That's amazing.
Yeah. And, you know, I'm mixed. I have, like, mixed feelings because on one hand, they're still in the hospital and I want to go see them. On the other hand, I don't want to F them up.
Right.
You know what I mean? And I realize.
I don't know if you can do much damage right now. These are actually the days where you can look right in their eyes and say, I'm not ready for you, and you've just ruined my life.
I'm totally overwhelmed, and I wish I could take it back.
Get it out now, because later they'll actually know what you're saying.
All right,
and
so I can
hurt
say
feelings.
You weren't playing.
No, actually, you know what? The kid thing comes easily, because it's an instinct. You just want to be there for your kid, and you love him, and blah, 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 whatever. Mm-hmm. But the thing that's going to be to look out for is your relationship with your wife, because that changes.
Uh-huh.
Before you have kids, it's about you and her. It's
right.
about the two of you. Your marriage is the institution you're living in.
Mm-hmm.
Then you have kids, and those people are your blood. They have your blood in them, and you're responsible for their life, and you'd give your life for theirs. Then you look at your wife, and you go, who the hell are you? You're
right.
a stranger. Why are you bothering me?
Mm.
It just becomes less.
Really?
Yeah, no, it's really.
So
you're going to start to hate each other a little bit. Just a little bit.
What
just
if we already
bit,
started with a little?
A little hate? Then it's,
well, not hate,
you know,
but I would say a friendly disrespect.
A baseline of friendly disrespect.
Yeah, that's actually the basis for a great marriage right there.
Yeah.
Friendly disrespect is probably... That could last forever.
Well, it does.
That's awesome.
You know, it becomes like a coworker that you barely tolerate, but you've both been at the same firm for 25 years.
No, see, that'll last forever. Like, when you meet a couple that's like, how do you guys do it? Well, we just love each other so much.
She's
you're
my
not
best
gonna,
friend. She's my best friend.
Gonna,
when I hear that best friend
2 weeks
stuff.
I give you. You're not going
anywhere.
Yeah,
and that's the deal with the tattoos and the vials of blood. Whenever you, it smacks of overcompensation.
Yeah. No, that's what, and those people will never make it through the crucible of having kids. You guys will make it because you know what sucks about each other. You know what is annoying about your wife. She knows what is unchangeably crappy about your personality.
Oh, yeah.
She knows it.
Mm-hmm.
And she's lived with you, so you guys, you'll be fine.
Well, my wife, sometimes she knows it. Sometimes she forgets or gets confused, so she got one of those quarterback wristbands that has all my horrible traits, the monobrow, the blowhard. Once in a while, when we're arguing, she'll go to the wristband.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, one thing that I do with my wife to keep her happy, my goal is to keep her happy. I'm not concerned about what I want because that went out the window a long time ago. So I just try to keep her happy. And the way I do that is to just lie to her a lot.
Because it's just, it makes her, puts her in a good mood, you know? She's like, she's like, did you do that thing? And I'm like, yeah. And she's like, oh, thank you, you know? Yeah. And I didn't do it, but she feels good right there. Yeah.
Sure.
And that's then later she's like, why didn't you do that? I fell down, something, you know, whatever. You just kind of keep it rolling.
Still, the idea of being generous to your wife is nice of you, yeah.
Yeah, no, I want to be, but, and also there's a lot of things she doesn't want to know. I mean, like, she has me on a diet because she doesn't want me to get unhealthy and die. Because then she has to do everything.
Right.
See, that's what happens. You can't, like, I can't die now. I don't get to die because my kids will be homeless because she's useless. She makes no money. She's
wife sounds selfish.
She's a painter, so that's nice.
Oh, really?
She can't paint a dollar, so it's nothing. It's useless.
Right, she doesn't paint houses like a smart person. She paints clowns.
Oh, God, if she painted houses, that would be awesome.
Yeah. You have her in the bedroom right now.
But, yeah. So she keeps me, tries to keep me healthy, but I just eat whatever I want and don't tell her.
You do look like you've shed a few pounds since we've seen you last.
I'm kind of always a little bit fat, and now I'm a little less fat, maybe.
Yeah.
But I'll bounce back.
I was going to say
days,
that.
I'll be a load again.
We need to take a break. We're going to do a little hypothetical question with Louis when we come back. But first, maybe a little tease before we leave. And we usually do the hypothetical, who would you rather drive cross-country with, this guy or this guy. Oh, but God. I guess now
Louis
we can do it.
May have forgotten the rules, because the last time he played,
There's no wrong answer.
Right. Still, it somehow went wrong.
No wrong answers.
No wrong answer.
Yeah, you're 0 for 5 last time, but there are no wrong answers.
That's okay.
But I think we'll change it, modify it a little bit. You have young kids. I just gave birth or watched my kids being born a couple days ago. That's another thing. We're pregnant.
Yeah.
She's my best friend.
No,
please, you people.
No. She's doing it all. You're just standing there.
That's right. That's right.
That's it.
This is a hypothetical, which one would you rather your son not become? Which one of these guys would make you most miserable if he or she became this guy or gal?
All right.
All right?
Yeah.
First guy, the guy who claims to be a black belt but seems like a puss and will never use it or show you or do anything. Mm-hmm. He'll say he was the youngest black belt to come out of. He was a third-degree black belt. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, the guy's belly button is deeper than Big Tad's. Mm-hmm. He's got man boobs. Mm-hmm. You've never seen him get in a fight. He won't break a piece of wood. He won't karate chop a cinder block. He knows nothing.
Right.
That guy or, geez, Big Tad again, wallet on the chain guy, but he's driving a minivan. He's got some. He wants some street cred and some attitude, but he's pulling out of a beige Windstar.
Either way, it's worse if it's your daughter.
Yes, he does. Yeah, I got two girls, so either one of them turn out to be one of those things.
Well, then
actually, that'd be fine. The second one would be fine.
We'll work my son.
I prefer the second one because the second one is somebody who probably has a job and will do okay, and you know.
I want my daughter. I'm sorry, that's incorrect. I'm sorry, Louie. I say the guy who has the black belt, at least he showed the discipline at a young age to go to the dojo.
You're saying you want your daughter to...
I want her to be like Janet Reno, you know, just very, you know, I want her to be a skilled woman who can depend on herself and that people look at her and go, wow, okay.
And to never see
I
a
really
penis
do.
As long as you live.
I don't want my daughters to depend on guys. That's the only thing I don't want them to have.
Okay.
To have to do.
We'll take ourselves a quick break. Louis C.K. in studio. Lucky Louis. Name
He's
of the
warmed
new show.
Up now, when we come back, I assume he'll hit his stride with the hypothetical.
He's 0 for 1, but that's all right. This is a warm-up
swing. I hate this thing.
More of that after this.
Hey, this is the Adam Carolla Show. But listen...
Stanley Bing, you are the author of 100 BS Jobs.
Stanley, give us a suggestion or two.
Entry level BS.
Computer game tester. You get to play. You know, frag zombies and drink beer and then
said frag,
keep a couple
didn't he?
Of notes on the game.
Because that'd be the world's worst death. The fag zombie. Not that he kills you; it's what he does with your corpse. Ugh.
Stay here because there's a lot more coming up. The Adam Carolla Show.
Adam, how are you?
Yeah.
So tell us about the kids.
The boy is Sonny, like Santino, 6 pounds, 4 ounces, and the girl, Natalia, is 79 pounds.
Did you cut the cord?
I didn't want to cut the cord, but the guy handed me the snippers and just sort of pushed me at my kid. I almost dropped the snippers in the kid's eyes.
No. Yeah, true story. Louis C.K. in studio. Did you cut your kids' cords?
The second one I cut. The first one, she's still attached.
Oh, really? Yeah. Still? Yeah.
Well, she's only one.
Yeah, exactly. No, the first one is four. The other, you know.
Whatever. Yeah. I'm not good at math.
Right.
This is already a rough day.
Four and still attached.
Yes.
I like that.
It works because we don't have to feed her, and she poops through the tube back into my wife, too. Yeah. So. Okay.
Wow. That's better than those suction things you see at the bank when they put the thing in there. Yeah, it goes right. around.
Exactly.
Best part about the bank or the car dealership is when they put the invoice in the sucker thing and you see it go Logan's Run style over to the parts
and
bay.
It just ends up like in Lost in a pile somewhere in a, you know, on an island.
Louis C.K. in studio. Lucky Louis premieres Sunday after Entourage.
Very exciting. I remember months ago, if not a year ago, when this script first was written, people saying the Hollywood insight, oh, it's hysterical.
Oh, well,
now we get to see it.
I think it's pretty darn funny. And
Hollywood Reporter, I just read online. Big, flattering review.
Yeah, no, they really liked it, and LA Times liked it, and, you know, I don't know, most people
does write
stuff,
you
know, I don't know.
HBO, and I don't know what the last time the count was, but now at the Emmys, it's like HBO walks with 105, and the second closest was ABC with 4.5. They're turned into a juggernaut. I mean, And I don't know how the math works. Do they have money? Mm-hmm. Are you well compensated?
Am I well compensated? I'm fine. I mean, I'm making a whole lot more than my dad and my mother. You know, I'm doing really well.
But they're both coal miners, right?
Yes, that's right.
They have come a long way because HBO used to be, you remember, it was just a bunch of shows that would come up with some silly excuse to show boobs. It was like Dream On. They would just inexplicably.
Yeah.
And that show, The Hitcher. You remember that?
Yeah.
Just boobs would appear.
You're right. I agree. They're heading in the wrong direction.
Yeah.
It's time to turn back and start dancing with who brung you.
Exactly.
HBO. Do you get to show boobs in your sitcom?
Well, we get to, but we don't. We actually, there was the episode that shows next week, we had sex scenes between me and my wife. But it's very married sex, you know.
Right.
When you're married, you wear your T-shirt to bed, and you're not going to take it off to have sex. You just roll on, you thrust, you roll off. It's not like a whole.
Oh, you're thrusting.
No. Yeah,
jeez,
we do
I don't even
thrusting.
Do that. I just roll on, roll off.
Who plays your wife?
Good. Her name is Pamela Adlon. She's great. She's Bobby Hill's voice on King of the Hill, which she won an Emmy for. And she's
get her to do. I wonder.
Funny.
Now, is she married in real life?
She's got three kids.
Got to be great when her husband has her do the Bobby Hill voice. When he's making love to her from behind.
I don't know. You'd have to ask her about it if they do that.
Why is it from behind? I'll tell you why. A, because that's my thing. And B, don't look at me. And B, because the voice then is just coming from nowhere. You're not seeing it come from her head.
I like to do it from behind because then they can't see the tears that are streaming down my face.
Because you're so moved.
I'm so moved by the sex and...
Yeah.
And by everything that's happening in Iraq.
All right. We were going to continue, as promised, with these hypothetical questions. We'll go quickly because we're running out of time here. I'm woefully behind.
Oh, God, are we doing that more?
Yeah, well, you're 0 for 1. You're 0 for 5 last time. But let's keep going.
Is
these are all tailor-made.
The thing is that they take so long to describe these
people.
These
are going
to
be fast.
They're so specific and well-rounded but this one aspect of this person.
These are your daughters. These are things
that I don't want them to grow up being. I'll finish it for you.
This person, the chick who explains what food does to them, you know, like, I'll eat a candy bar, and I'll have a sugar rush, but then I'll bottom out, and I'll eat some red meat, and I'll have a red meat buzz the whole day, but then I can feel the lethargy and all that.
Yeah.
The stupid person that explains what the food does them, or this person, a dentist who thinks they're funny.
A dentist.
That's just talking the whole time, cracking wise, cracking jokes.
Mm-hmm.
Which one would you not want your daughter to turn into?
I don't want her to be the dentist makes money. That's a good profession. Mm-hmm. So I don't want her to be the one with the describes.
I'm sorry. That's wrong.
Louis just not good at this game.
I know.
Let's just keep moving here.
Are you 0 for 7 now, totally?
I think so. By the way, I've always been one of those people where I can eat whatever I want, and I just get really fat. It's like no problem.
But you feel great.
Weird, totally weird ability to just gain weight.
How about this chick? The one who explains to you that her dog thinks it's a person.
Yeah.
That one.
Yeah.
Versus the one with the incredibly long nails. We spoke about this person earlier, 4-inch long nails.
Well, see, I think you're being unfair with that. Like, I don't know if I want my daughters to grow up to be large, fat black women, just because I'd be fine with them being large It just means that that's something weird happened.
Right.
Right now they're small and white. So if they turn into big black women,
Reverse Michael Jackson.
I'm not necessarily upset about the outcome, but whatever happened to make that happen is, is that's weird. But I don't think, I think women that do that, they're just, look, nobody's...
Answer, please, Louis.
Oh, Christ. The whatever, the the second one.
Which one is that?
I'm sorry, that's wrong.
All right, last one. This one, this one's going to be easier.
You might have worked out. No.
This is going to be easy. The chick that gets the bedazzler off the infomercial, the thing where you can put all the rhinestones and everything on it, and goes nuts making custom gifts for everybody, denim jackets with your initials and all that, versus the one... who says she can guess your zodiac sign, gives nine guesses, doesn't get it. When you then finally say, I'm a Virgo, she says, I knew it. I know I could tell because of which one?
It's just not giving me enough information about these people.
Oh, well, I'm sorry.
Zodiac girl might have, like, a, she might be helping people at night.
She could very well be doing that.
Be running a homeless shelter.
She could be
a serial rapist. While the girl with the bedazzler might be a serial rapist, exactly. And I'd be fine with serial rapists.
So
can I just pick
you're
serial
going
rapist?
Bedazzler?
Yeah, because she's giving gifts to people.
I'm sorry, Dick. I'm sorry, Louis. 0 for 8, 0 for 9. Let's enact the slider rule.
This
again, there are no wrong answers. At least we thought there weren't. Lucky Louie, name of the showy. Lucky Louie, name of the showy.
Yes.
Louis
HBO
C.K.
after Entourage on Sunday.
I will be watching.
Good.
Thank you, Louis.
Thanks for having me,
Thanks for coming on.
Appreciate it.
And we'll be back with the news. What do we have to look forward to, T?
Well, I had a bagel for breakfast, and carbs make me a little sluggish. But I think it's going to be the MTV Movie Awards. If you missed them, I'll tell you the two things that you need to know. And also, Angelina got rid of a tattoo and is getting a new one.
All right. That and sports coming up after this.
Adam Carolla Show.
But listen, Teron is here, the world's whitest black man. Now you're going out again with Larissa, right?
Yes.
Larissa, you're too single and too foxy and too friendly. That's the problem. All right, now
I'm going to the Magic Castle with
That's what he calls his underpants, by the way. You want to go to the Magic Castle? Sure, sounds like fun. Oh yes. Wow, lots of guys waving wands around and stuff coming out. That's right.
Stay here because there's a lot more coming up. The Adam Carolla Show.
Jeff Rackai, welcome. It's good to see you.
Hell yeah.
Bro, Jimmy is a lot better than Adam. It's the bottom line.
Wait a second. Adam might be back tomorrow,
but
Maverick.
Dude, he doesn't let anyone talk. And all they do is play songs before they bench. Uchi's uncle says it's morning zoo. With Jimmy, it's more like a real radio show.
Thank you, Jeff Rackai.
He warned us. Uchi's uncle warned us we're dangerously close to being overproduced.
Yeah, in grave danger.
Yeah.
He's in radio.
Well, he was on the sales side, but still in radio. All right, well, I'll just button my lip, as you know I do, because that's the thing. When it's time for Teresa Strasser in the news, I just step back. I just step back and let her do the talking.
You love her so much, why don't you marry her?
All right, Dio. What was I calling you?
Yeah. Dead one.
Dead one. The dead one. All right, so it is time for Teresa Strasser and the news.
I think everyone's heard by now that Al Zarqawi is dead. So let's just skip that story. Go right to entertainment news. Time is short.
Yes.
Last night was the MTV Movie Awards. No surprise, really. The Best Kiss Award went to Jake Gyllenhaal and Heath Ledger for Brokeback Mountain. Here's Jake accepting the award.
You know, I said to Heath, who's not here, I'm speaking on both of our behalves, but I said to him after we finished the scene that you saw, if we don't win the MTV, you know, Movie Award for Best Kiss, then it wasn't worth it. It's worth it now.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see the Brokeback?
No, I've not seen it yet. I'm not interested in quality. I want to see stuff being blown up.
Fair
enough.
Call
me a lightweight, that's me.
Well, also at the MTV Movie Awards, the comedian Sacha Baron Cohen, you probably know him as Ali G, but he also plays this Kazakhstani reporter character called Barat.
Sure.
That I can't get enough of. Here is Barat promoting his new movie.
My name is Barat. I'm from Kazakhstan. I here promote my film, which releases in November. It has something for everyone. discussion on politics for adults, and even some jokes about Jews for the children.
Yeah.
He has my favorite song, Throw the Jew Down the Well.
Yeah. Edgy. I don't know. I think Paris Hilton ripped that off, though.
It sounds so
Her new song does sound a lot like Throw the Jew Down the Well.
Eerily similar.
Yeah.
Well, it wouldn't be a day without baby news from Brad and Angelina. The new mom has some new ink. Angelina has tattooed the longitudes and latitudes of both Cambodia and Ethiopia, the birthplaces of her adopted children, on her left bicep. No Namibia tattoo yet.
Yeah, what is that? I mean, I don't know. Are there people, maybe I can be accused of this too, who think too much? Maybe just crap out a couple of kids and bring them home and enjoy them. Do you have to get the tats to signify? Do you have to get the vial of blood? Do you have to... Ultimately, doesn't that stuff just become narcissistic when you do too much for other people about you? I had my son and daughter both tattooed on my... Do you really love your kids that much, or is it more about you?
Yeah, it does. It does seem a little creepy, like when Tori Spelling's husband had her whole face on his arm. I don't know. Yes. That creeped me out a little bit.
It'll be creepier when they get the divorce.
Exactly. Okay. A Missouri woman bought a 4-week-old chihuahua from a pet breeder, only to find out it was too young to be sold. Before she could return it, the little puppy died.
Good.
Oh.
The chihuahuas blow ass.
No, they're cute.
They're horrible dogs.
They're so cute.
Yeah, they're great. They bite everyone that gets near them.
Well, this woman took her dead chihuahua, and she broke into the breeder's house, got in a wrestling match with the breeder, and beat the woman over the head with the corpse of the dead puppy.
Finally, found a practical use for chihuahuas.
She fled the scene, waving the dead chihuahua out of her sunroof, and now the dog owner is being charged with assault and burglary.
I would put it right into the business end of the deaf frat guy's potato gun and fire it right through the kitchen window of the breeder. That's what I do with my dead chihuahuas.
Is this all small dogs or just the chihuahuas?
Just chihuahuas. All other small dogs are worthless. These ones are mean and worthless. They're horrible. You ever see these chihuahuas? Look, they're horrible, and the people that like them are horrible. They're horrible. Well, look, we understand that they're bad breeds, right? I mean, we understand that they're bad animals. Right.
Well, what's creepy is Paris Hilton has one, and they're both overbred species.
Yes,
you know, with weird ticks.
I know. They're both going to need hip replacements by the time they're 25.
Exactly, but they're so cute. Okay. An 86-year-old Holocaust survivor was strolling the streets of Manhattan when she was mugged. Well, that mugger picked the wrong lady, because when he tried to take her purse, she beat him with her umbrella.
Oh, I thought it was going to be the chihuahua.
No. He got away with nothing but a beating. Uh-huh. The mugger is still on the loose, with maybe a little bit less street cred.
Yeah, that's got to look good on your reel when you're trying to get into heaven. Let's watch you beat up on the try to roll the 86-year-old Holocaust survivor. Fantabulous. All right.
Okay, and of course, tomorrow's Dave's birthday.
Yes. Got your bottle of booze, by the way.
Is that right?
And I got Teresa one, too. You guys both like to take a little nip every once in a while,
do.
Don't you?
What'd I get?
Well, I brought in two bottles, and I'll let you guys decide which one you like more. They're very different. So whoever's the vodka person, whoever's the whiskey person, will figure it out.
I call whiskey.
All right. I heard that about you.
Yes, it's true.
That you drink, mainly to forget, but also to lash out.
Well, you know, both.
All right.
And also sometimes
and to forget
pass out.
About lashing out,
exactly.
Ironically.
Sometimes to blackout.
Yes.
As I was saying, Dave's birthday is tomorrow. A big day. And I just want you to know, Dave, that you share that day with gay icon Judy Garland.
Now, is your birthday tomorrow or Sunday?
So, yes.
Oh, all right. Well,
It's Judy's birthday then, too.
Get me the whiskey. Let's start now.
Diamond Either way, you love the gays.
You do. All right, I'm Teresa Strasser. That's the news.
It's time for Dave Damashek's number one sports. Number one sports. Do it, Dave.
I will keep my comments brief, and not because Brusca, for once in his life, is holding up a sign. No, it's because there's a fox waiting in the green room who Fat Tad seems to think he has some chance with, and I can't wait to watch this
Vita Guerra.
Just fail horribly.
Yeah, she's the FHM model.
Don't mess my game up, all right?
No,
I'm already nervous here.
I've got my fingers crossed for you, Fat.
He's sweating.
It's Big Tad, by the way.
Great ass!
He's sweating so much, the anchor chain he wears around his neck is starting to rust.
She's listening to this right now, and you guys are helping.
Put the chain inside of the wrestling shirt.
He actually sweats syrup.
Yes.
All right. As everybody probably knows by now, Dallas won game one of the NBA Finals. Miami down one. They're my pick. Strasser took the Mavericks, so she is 1-0 as we go into the
Mavs
weekend.
And seven.
National Pastime, your winners, Giganics and the Athletics, your losers, Snakes, Padres, Mariners. And as we speak, the World Cup has begun. And as I said earlier, Chichu and Temu, I'm not going to live off my past glory.
A lot of guys would.
Yeah, no, yeah, of course. I'm no one-hit wonder, though. I'm no men at work. I'm not going to rest on my laurels. I choose now to move ahead. But, you know, I have to say, I've been watching American sports. How was I supposed to know about all these great names? You have Kaká.
Kaká.
You have Zizou. You have Togo. You have Vandervaart.
Hold on. Togo. Okay.
Yeah. And my favorite one, Ufa Lucy. Okay, I'm feeling it.
Sophomore effort.
Right. Ufa Lucy, how was I supposed to know about you and Togo? Oh, I missed it.
Right.
Zizou and Kaká and Cherundolo. Vandervaart, you're thrilling me. I don't, you know what?
Yeah.
You know what? It was
definitely
just
a departure.
Thank goodness that it's a month-long tournament. This was just a way to get my feet wet. I'll work out the kinks over the weekend.
Yeah,
I
got to believe
stronger.
The old fans are looking for you to dip back into the old playlist, you know, this new direction. I don't know if it's working for you.
It's a little more poppy.
It's a little poppier, yeah.
Well, I want to broaden the base, you know.
Yeah, I'm not sure if this is the way to do it. Okay, Dave Damashek with sports, everybody.
Dave Damashek's number one sports.
Vita Guerra, FHM model. The booty queen coming in studio.
I think the problem was that, like all pop stars, I got into drugs and it's messed with my head. I got to get back to my roots.
Time to get back into rehab and roots. We'll take a quick break. We'll get to Vita's roots after this.
There's more coming up.
Adam Carolla.
The Adam Carolla Show.
Well, I don't know who this is. Is this old Jim Croce? I'm going to guess Jim Croce. Vita Guerra in studio. July Playboy cover girl. Also ranked 21st in FHM Sexiest Women of 2006. Look at you, beautiful. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
This is what a woman looks like.
I'm looking at pictures of you and your beautiful rear end. I got to tell you, this looks great. And there's something visceral about a beautiful ass. I mean, you want to take a bite out of it, don't you, Damashek?
I'm a leg man.
Yeah.
But I like what I see. Don't get me wrong.
Oh, by the way, he's married.
Yeah.
Married, got a girlfriend. No. Boyfriend.
Right.
Down,
by the way,
and he's fat.
Big Tad is.
Yes, I am.
Married to a tub of Lubriderm.
No, please. No, sir.
All right, just listen to me. Big Tad's a big fan. So is Jerron. That's Jerron over there to your. We'll be to your left cheek as
Jerron off the hizzle.
You're from Cuba.
I'm from Cuba. Yep.
And you came over here at age 5.
Yes, we escaped.
You escaped. How did that work?
My dad actually tried to escape when he was younger, and he got arrested. He went to jail for 2 years. And then there was a time that Fidel Castro, they said they're against communist ways, so he had to leave, but we had to stay. So my dad got a visa from Costa Rica ambassador, and we ended up going there. And from there, we went to Bahamas. From Bahamas, we went to Miami and then to New Jersey.
Wow. And you sound more New Jersey than you sound Cuban, I think.
Yeah, I know.
You speak Spanish?
I speak Spanish.
And what was Cuba like? Have you not been since you were 5?
No, I went there in 99. It's poor. It's bad.
Shouldn't we just kick Fidel Castro out on his fat old bearded ass?
Let's go kick his butt.
Yeah, why not?
Well, they do have an incredibly high literacy rate. That's the one good thing you could say about Cuba, right?
Mm-hmm. The schools are really good, and the medical, I think it's like the best medicine.
All right, well, I'll take you to school.
Hey.
But the Cuban women are fantastically gorgeous. And Vida, who's gorgeous everywhere, but famous for her booty. Yeah. I have to ask, what do you do anything special, or does it just look like that?
Is that how you got to the you and your family?
I floated on my booty, yes. That's what I did.
I'm sorry. No, I'm sorry about these guys.
It must be nice, though. Now, I'm reading here that you dated Jeremy Shockey.
No, that's not true.
Derek Jeter.
No.
Ted
Both
Newcomb.
Of those are false.
Mm-hmm. Not yet.
Really?
No, I mean, I know both of the guys, but like Jeremy, we did a photo shoot for Sports Illustrated together, and then we were going to the same party, and we ended up going, and in the red carpet, they took a picture, and the next thing I knew, I was dating him.
But you mean according to the tabloids?
Yeah.
Forget dating, but was any time spent between the sheets?
Shut up!
No.
Shut up.
No, and why,
Ted, what are you doing here again, other than...
I'm sorry, man.
Being a fan of Vitas?
I'm in love with this woman.
Right.
Yeah, and I'm sorry for butting in all the time, but don't be rude to the lady.
Mm-hmm. Do you have a poem for her, Big Ted?
Are you trying to get me out of here quickly?
Yes, I am.
Well, I would love to have Jerron go first.
I went first last time.
No, it's don't your care. Now. Yours is a rap.
Jerron, you have a rap?
Ted can go first.
No, I got a poem.
Ted, rap. Read your goddamn poem.
All right. Hate you, Jerron. All right. This is called Ode to Vida. Vida, the first time I saw you, I fell in love. I knew right away you were sent from heaven above. From the bottom of your feet to the beauty of your hair, you're really hot in sexy underwear. I'm here on the show to say this. Would you want to go out sometime? Or maybe can I get a kiss? Either way, I am so happy you are here. Vida Guerrera, Playboy, and the world are lucky to have you. Maybe one day I will be blessed. Maybe I can call you my boo.
Aw.
You mean,
No, she said, aw.
She said, aw.
No, pity something. You see something. Aw, that's very sad.
Yeah. Like when you see just a little baby 300-pound bird that fell out of its nest. All right, that was horrible.
No.
Are you single, Vida?
Yes, I am.
You are?
Mm-hmm. Do you like
really?
Big guys?
Well.
Do you like fat guys? Guys with cuddly?
I like nice guys. Don't matter.
Doesn't matter what they look like?
Mm-mm. Well, I have to be attracted to them.
Oh, all right, so they have to be hot for you to be attracted to them.
No, not necessary.
Not necessary?
Mm-mm.
What's your type?
Yeah, what is your type?
I don't really have a type. It's more of the chemistry that I get.
The chemistry that you find between a rich guy with washboard abs?
Hey, where are the white women at?
Here's my point. All women give this party line. Ah, it's the personality. It's just what, you know, the chemistry. But then we see it with some hunky heartthrob the next time you're out on a date.
I never really did any hot guys.
Not into that? Mm-hmm. All right. Jeter's good looking. Shockey's good looking.
I never dated them, though.
All right. Jerron?
Yes.
Let's finish this painful dirge by you rapping to Vida.
This is called Black Man Love the Booty. Go, Brian.
I'm trying again.
Yeah. Hey, Vida, you're a real cutie. I really like that booty. It's like an onion. Every time I see it, I want to cry. Oh, me, oh, my. I can't take that rump off my eye.
That's all you got?
That's it?
That's it.
Well, listen, Jerron, that wasn't a great effort, but on the other hand, while you pine for Vida over here, directly to your left is your mother. Yes. She must be ashamed of you talking that way to a woman.
Go ahead.
Yes.
Are you ashamed?
I have nothing to say. I am ashamed. I'm surprised my son would say something like that. A booty? Yeah. I don't even know what a booty is.
No. It's a rump, Mom. Sorry.
Oh, okay. That's better, a rump.
Was Jerron a bedwetter? Did you have to discipline him? Tell us something horrible about Jerron.
Jerron wasn't a bedwetter.
Mm.
He always wanted to be a DJ.
Really?
Forever. I mean, he had a sister, like, at age 2, making her be a DJ. I don't know. He's fascinated with this. But I'm still about this booty stuff.
Would you like to see him work out with Vida?
Oh, no.
No?
Oh,
wow.
No.
Why not?
He needs to make an eye contact right now.
Right. Vita, any attraction to Jerron?
Yeah.
She was giving me eyes when I was in the green room earlier today.
Nothing wrong with Jerron, right?
Vita, how say you?
No, he's a nice guy. Damning him with faint praise.
And why, Mama Jerron, why would you not want to see your son with Vita? Too fast paced for you?
Yeah.
A little racy.
Vita could work my son over.
Plus, you...
Show him things that he's never seen before.
You want him to date within his race, find a nice white girl to settle down with.
Never.
A nice albino.
No.
Nice pink eyes and red hair. Yes, you don't want him to go outside the race. All right, we need to take ourselves a break. Vita, I promise you it's going to get funner after this. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back after this. Got a question for Def Rat Guy?
I got a buddy that's throwing a 3-kegger on Friday night. I got to go to traffic school on Saturday morning at 7:30.
Pull it all night up. Where does it say in the U.S. Constitution that there's a law against going to traffic school with it?
The Adam Carolla Show.
Ooh. Hustler shooting 8-ball, throwing darts at the wall. Feeling damn near 10 feet tall. Here she comes, Lord help us all. OTW's girlfriend done slapped him out his chair. Poor old boy, it ain't his fault. It's so hard not to stare at that honky tonk, but don't get down. Keeping curvy rhythm.
This is a song for everything, isn't there?
I don't get the connection here.
Well, I'll tell you who we have. We have Vita Guerra in studio. She's the booty queen. She's going to be, on newsstands as we speak, right,
yes.
Vita?
Yes.
Playboy cover girl?
Mm-hmm.
And in the pages as well?
Yes, 10-page spread.
10 pages?
Mm-hmm.
And you take your shirt off.
Yeah, I only need 3 or 4. Are you totally naked?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, no shame in that.
No.
The body is it's a beautiful thing, or it can be a dumpster like Big Ten.
The pictures, they're very tasteful.
Very tasteful.
Mm-hmm.
It is Dave Damashek. I know your beautiful woman who's in Playboy and FHM, so you must love sports guys. We got a lovely cake for Dave Damashek's birthday.
I think that's very nice. I just want to say, maybe it sounds cheesy or folksy or whatever. I don't need gifts and cakes like that. I just want to say, all I need is to see Vita's boobs.
It is his birthday. Wow. You want to shoot him a quick winger?
Wow, you got to go buy it. 10 pages in Playboy. I know.
All right.
You want to make out? Make out session.
Another poem from Tad.
You going to blow out the candle, Dave?
Yes. Yeah, so you know what's
you
sad?
You
want to
wish for the winger so we can all benefit?
This cake.
Yeah, I know. No one
in this town could buy me a cake.
Nobody wanted to buy you one.
Nor did we want to make you one.
All right. Vita, thank you very much for coming in. We'll be purchasing the Playboy out on July Playboy out on newsstands as we speak.
At least I get that, right? I get the magazine.
If, in fact, Big Tad will go out and get it and not destroy it before he brings it back to the studio. National Lampoon's Dorm Days 2, which is coming out August 06. Thank you, Vita. I'm going to give thanks to Harry Shearer. Harry Shearer, now you see it, name of the DVD. Louis C.K., Lucky Louie, premiering Sunday, 10:30 on HBO. And I want to give a special thanks to Jimmy Kimmel. Did a great job. A lot of you probably thought I was going to thank my wife at this point. But
I did.
The radio doesn't come in good at the hospital, so she's not going to listen to any of this.
Have fun with the kids this weekend, eh?
I shall. But Jimmy Kimmel doing a great job filling in for me and, of course, my beautiful wife, Lynette, for putting up with me. So, until next time, this is Adam Carolla saying mahalo.